All right, welcome to episode 235 of the Linux Lugcast. We are an open podcast slash lug that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern every first and third Friday of the month using Mumble. We encourage anyone listening to join us and participate. You can check out linuxlugcast.com for the server details. And if you are unable to join us live during the show, you can send us an email at feedback@linuxlugcast.com. You can check out our Lemmy page where we post things that we like to talk about. There's a link both in the show notes and at linuxlugcast.com. We have a YouTube and PeerTube channel where you can actually see this version of the podcast. You can see our smiling faces. Nobody wants to see that.
Yes, you actually get a chance to see my good profile.
We need to find a way just to get like a little picture. There.
He can do that. He has to get a gravatar.
Right. Like Lovecraft's. Lovecraft's got a nice one there.
Yeah.
All right. I think I got all that. PeerTube, YouTube. Yep. All right. I think we're good. All right. I'm your host for this evening, Honky Magoo. With us is Joe.
Hello. I'm here. I swear.
Lovecraft.
Good evening, everybody.
Bugbot.
Listen to me now.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm here.
Netminer.
Hello, friends.
And lurking in the background is Fatboy. If he likes to talk, that's perfectly fine. If not, you want to just sit there and listen, that's fine. Oh, yeah, I'm muted. Did you want to talk?
Yeah, I'm here. That's good. First time contributor.
Oh, that mic's hot, bro.
Yep.
Back away from the mic a little. That's all right.
Oh, turn that gain down.
Is that any better?
No.
Still too hot.
Okay, I'll just go back to the audio test and I'll come back in a bit.
Okay.
Well, if you can move the mic away a little bit, that might help a little bit.
Yeah, it's just the mic in the laptop. I'm sat a couple of feet away from it.
Oh, yeah. You're
hurting my feelings here.
You can turn it down in either your microphone setting on your laptop or in Mumble itself.
I'd say definitely on your laptop settings.
Yeah.
Go to your sound settings.
Yeah, it's actually a Chromebook. I'm just looking into it now.
Oh, I don't know how to do it on a Chromebook. Oh, did anybody post the link for the show notes? I just need it this one time, and I will tab it again.
Really can't. Let's see. Hold on. I'll post it into... you got it?
I'll post it in Mumble.
Whatever the version of Mumble that I have on my laptop that I do the recording on, I can't put any text into it.
Mine was like that way for a long time.
I remember. Mine was like that.
Yeah.
For a while.
Which version are you running of Mumble?
Let's see. 1.3.4?
All right.
Yeah, 1.3.4 tack 1.
I'm on 1.3.0, so.
You need an update, boy.
Yes, I do. I'll see what, because this is Bunsen Labs. Yeah, it's a Debian.
Get a flat pack.
Hmm.
I have a joke to tell.
Oh, God, help us all.
Okay. Go ahead, Bugbot.
I will say a joke, and you will open your mouth. And human laughter will come out.
Yeah, that's usually the way it works. You don't have to say that before the joke. Still some rough edges here. So, what is your joke? Hello?
Gotta finish typing it out.
What is the difference between an Irish wedding and an Irish funeral?
I don't know. You guys know?
No. One less drunk.
That's pretty good. That's actually kind of funny. Everybody's laughing very hard.
Ha ha hee hee ha ha hee ya 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 hee hee ha 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 hee ya 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 hee hee.
There you go.
Okay.
You have any more jokes like that?
What is the difference between a circus and a sorority house?
I don't know. You guys know?
No.
What's the difference between a circus and a sorority house? Bugbutt.
One is full of cunning stunts.
That's kind of... Did we lose all of our...
that one before?
Did we lose all of our female audience yet? Oh, the one girl that was listening. What about you? Got any more? You got any more? Look, what?
Why does Santa Claus have such a big sack?
I don't know. Why does Santa Claus have such a big sack?
He only comes once a year.
Oh.
That was good. Look, but you can go back to sleep now. Yeah. Very funny. He likes his own jokes. Okay. I'll put him to sleep for a little while. That was the Lugbot comedy hour.
Oh, well, that happened. What's that?
I hate it.
Morrissey hates it.
Bad boy, test your mic again.
Oh, Joe thought it was funny.
Yeah, is that sounding any better?
Oh, a thousand times better.
Oh, that's awesome.
Are you using a headset?
No, I'm just testing this Chromebook out. It's just using the internal microphone and speakers there.
It actually sounds really good.
Yeah, for an internal mic, that sounds awesome.
That was better than Joe, and he's on a headset.
Yeah. But this is not the greatest headset, I am aware.
And this is what you use on the Mintcast?
No, I actually, use a proper microphone.
You actually make an effort.
Yeah. On this show, I like being able to move around and do things, other than pay attention to you guys. On Mintcast, I'm actually, involved in it.
Oh. Okay. What about tilts?
No, I use this headset on tilts. That way I can lift weights.
Are you still doing tilts?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't listened to tilts in a long time. I didn't just stop caring about Joel's house.
Right. Well, we haven't talked about Joel's house in a while.
No.
And
do y'all talk about Linux at all?
Yeah. And Dave is on there now. Dave Yates is back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So wow. You should check it out. He's been on the last few shows, so.
I'll actually have to listen.
Yeah.
Is that why you guys are actually talking about Linux?
But to some extent. Dan has had quite a bit of work stuff that we talk about in regards to Linux. So it's been interesting conversations lately. And I think I got Dave. He says he's going to install Audio Bookshelf and give that a test because, I was extolling all the virtues and all the things that I use it for.
I just reinstalled Audio Bookshelf, the Docker container. I want to put it on the mini computer that I had. Oh, fuck, my head's just... I can't remember what the hell I'm trying to say.
Didn't know?
Tell me about
it. When I did my reformat, all my matching, all the matching that I did went away and everything that I listened to got reset and all that jazz. But I still have the old hard drive because I switched from an SSD to an M.2. So I'm going to see if I can pull the config file from the old hard drive and see if I can just put it in and see what works.
Put it on the old Rock Pi that I have Nicotine Plus on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I figured that's where I had most of my the audiobooks on, and that's where I was using to get some of the audiobooks is... I was getting them from Joe and then putting them onto that. I have 3 1-terabyte drives that are all hooked up to that Rock Pi. So using that as the storage for, pulling stuff down and then being able to share them afterwards. So, which, by the way, do you have Nicotine Plus back up?
I don't yet.
Okay.
Actually, let me check. Yeah, let's see if it works. Because some of my settings... we're saved because I used the built-in backup tools and then I did the restore. So some of it's worked, some of it hasn't. So I'm going to load up Nicotine now and see if it has remembered everything. If it has, then we're good. If it hasn't, I'm not going to set it up right now.
Okay, that's fine. I used that also to, I started listening to Jim Buscher's Dresden Files again. I'm on like book three already. But I reset up audiobook shelf. I love audiobook shelf.
It's great.
Yeah.
Everybody should have it installed.
If you like audiobooks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or podcasts.
Or podcasts, yeah.
Or ebooks.
Is it good for ebooks?
I have mine set up for ebooks. It allows me, you can either read it using audiobook layer or audiobook shelf, or what I do is I use it to bring the whatever ebook I want to my phone, and then I use like At Voice or Librera to read it aloud. And no, nicotine is not starting.
Okay.
This is your new, after you reformatted?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Hey, Fat Boy, how did you hear about us?
I've been listening to you guys for a bit, on and off the last few years. Just thought I'd drop in. I nearly dropped in the other week, but I missed you by a week, so I got the wrong Friday. So I just set up this Chromebook, and I was just thinking, well, might as well drop in there.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, man. Thanks for tuning in and for listening and joining us.
Have you tried any Linux on that Chromebook yet?
Yeah, I've got a few. That's why I bought. Well, the Chromebook is an Acer one. I got a pretty decent spec one with a Intel inside there, and I've got quite a few Linux apps running on there. I just bought this Mumble. The Mumble I'm just using is actually an Android app, so you've got the option of doing the Android apps or the Linux ones, but it's pretty good on the Linux.
Are you using Moomla for Mumble?
Yeah, that's Moomla. Yeah, Moomla.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
But the I use it quite a bit, this Chromebook, just for SSHing into the servers. Like, it's pretty good for that.
What type of servers are you running?
I got a few, got some VPSs running, some websites, got HP ProLiance server running, Ubuntu. I got a few round and about that I use for various things.
Did you listen or did you get on the New Year's Eve HPR stream?
No, I've listened to that. I didn't listen to it this year. Last year, I have listened to parts of it, and I was going to do it, but New Year's Eve, it kind of overtook, and before I knew it, it was January the 2nd even.
I didn't really listen to it much, but I'll listen to it when it comes out, hopefully by next year. Monkey should finish putting the stream together and getting it up and running.
Mid-October at the latest, really.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Lovecraft, when did we have it done last year?
Well, Lovecraft was on top of it. He wasn't the issue.
Yeah, Lovecraft and Scotty were all over it.
Speaking of ebooks, you read them in audio bookshelf, Joe? Is that what you said?
No, I use audio bookshelf to bring them to my phone, and then I use Librera or Voice to read them.
I posted in the Matrix, there's a new app called Librem Reader. Have you heard about that?
I have not.
It looks like it's similar to... I'm going to post it in the show notes.
I was using Librera last I checked, so...
Librera. It's similar to Audio Bookshelf, but mainly just made for ebooks. So it's, you run the server and then read it from anywhere. I put it in the show notes, Librem Reader. And Honky asked me if I actually read ebooks. Yeah, man. I know that's not cool anymore. Everybody listens to audiobooks.
It's just easier with audiobooks.
It is. I agree.
I mean, I killed 3 books in like a couple of days pretty easily because I can do other things and listen to the book at the same time.
Right.
Reading, I needed to be able to sit down and dedicated time to where I'm not going to get interrupted with anything. That's not easy to do.
Speaking of Chromebooks, also, there is a link here real quick called Krolcha Book? Is that how you pronounce this? It's supposed to make it easy to convert your Chromebook into an Ultrabook. put it in the show notes. Ultra book. DHR Ultra, basically. It says, convert your Chromebook into an Ultrabook. It's a modified Chromebook that is able to run Windows, Linux, and sometimes Mac OS by using Mr. Chromebox's Core Boot firmware. The purpose of this site is to provide documentation that is detailed, user-friendly, has up-to-date information about the hardware, software, and firmware on Chromebooks. And I guess they have a list of which Chromebooks. Here it is, supported devices. In the table below, you look under supported on documentation and then supported devices, supported platforms, Intel, AMD, and ARM. ARM is currently unsupported. Intel have good support for both Linux and Windows. And AMD, Stony Ridge support in Windows is questionable. And installing a custom kernel is required to get working audio in Linux. Ryzen has support for both Linux and Windows. Mac OS is unsupported. They have quite a few Chromebooks here.
Yeah, I like the Chromebook for you can drop into a terminal, and once you're in like stuff like SSH or something like that, there's absolutely no difference between that and a regular Linux laptop, really.
Right. Because there's not much I do on my laptop that I need actual Linux applications besides a terminal. Usually it's, unless it's like editing for the show, I'll use Kden Live. But I think that they even have that for Windows, I believe. I can't think of anything like Linux specific that I use, as far as applications go, that I regularly use. I'm sure they have Mumble Client for Windows and VLC and all that stuff.
Yeah, I use this one because, like, for the bang for the buck, you get quite a good deal out of these some of these Chromebooks. As I say, it wasn't a cheap one; it was I don't know, about 700-800 Canadian dollars. There.
I've seen a couple of videos, and I've done some talking on. You can find like used Chromebooks from schools and stuff for really low cost, even less than the cost of a Raspberry Pi. And then set them up to do the exact same things you would normally do with a Raspberry Pi, except for, you know, the I/O pin. But yeah, it's interesting what you can do with them, especially since most of them now you can find a way to install Linux on them instead of running Chrome OS.
Yeah, to be honest, like I don't ever use all the power that my good laptop has, my ThinkPad. Like even to render the show, I offload that to my render server and Proxmox, so it's can't think of anything that I need a lot of horsepower. I don't do any kind of design work or anything like that, or even audio editing doesn't take much, you know. So I could get by with one of those Chromebooks like you were talking about, Joe. And if I had one, I would probably try this Ultrabook deal. If it was cheap enough, I wouldn't.
A lot of your Chromebooks are just freaking overpowered for what they are.
Yeah, to run Chrome OS.
Yeah, you've got Chromebooks with, like, you know, top-end Intel processors, and why put that operating system on there? So, well, like I said, most of them you can force to run Linux in one way or another. So,
but you know, Android has like audio and video editing applications too. I wonder if people buy Chromebooks and then use those. Like Chrome OS, I guess they have their own app store too, right?
I mean, some of the beauty is because Chrome OS is so light, the battery life is, I get in like 9 hours on this one, which is pretty good. But then when the Linux part of it, it actually opens up like a virtual machine. And it works pretty good.
Now, the Chromebook that you have, so is that just like a regular Intel processor, like you would find in an AMD processor, like in a regular laptop, or is it something special?
It's an Intel, because sometimes, well, when you drop into the, because I had an ARM one a few years ago, I think it was ARM, and you got to watch because you don't get all the packages. you know, you try and install something, it's not available. It's only available on
x86.
Yeah. I'll just see what's in this. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, so it's basically just a regular x86 laptop just running Chrome OS. I bet you could. You know, they have this thing called Lone Star Auctions here, where they a lot of times I see like school laptops and stuff being sold in bulk and things like that.
My son got given one, like his own, from the school. I did look it up, and you can install Linux on it. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I don't know if he wants to or not. And like I said, it's his, not mine.
Now, is that ARM or is that x86? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it was an x86, but don't quote me on that. I think it was the Dell 11-inch line, so I don't know.
Yeah, looking at this, it's a AMD Ryzen 5 3500C with Radeon Vega Mobile GFX.
Yeah, that thing should be running Linux.
Well, most of the time I do spend my time in Linux, but I have used the old one. I actually put Linux on it 100%, but it does everything I need anyway. So most of my Linux work is in SSH and stuff like that. So it works pretty well. And then I've got LibreOffice installed under Linux here, so that's everything I really need.
Yeah. Now, have you been working on any projects, Fatboy, or Linux? Anything Linux related, or server stuff, or lately?
Yeah, I've redone all the Nextcloud. I've done. I'm working a lot on Home Assistant at the moment. I'm doing a lot of Zigbee stuff on there. I've been pretty busy doing stuff. As I say, I've got put a new install of Nextcloud on using that all-in-one.
That's what I've used.
Yeah, I've used it before where I tried to, you know, I've set it up before. I even set it up like the traditional way of, you know, installing other packages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But when you start using like the, Calibra?
That sometimes gets
a bit convoluted, you know, but that all in one, it's just, that's awesome. At the first I put it on do you ever remember the up boards? You're in the x86 I've got the first up board, that's an x86. I run that as my daily driver as a desktop for a few years ago. And I put that Nextcloud on that, but it kept on crashing. I think it was running out of memory. But I put it on my main server, and it's been absolutely rock solid for the last month or so.
Yeah, the all-in-one, I think, is the way to go. Ever since I switched it, because I had it installed traditionally too, you know. And I never really had problems, I guess, with it, but just mainly it was the maintenance and upkeep. It was... could be frustrating or time-consuming, especially updating to new versions and stuff. But the all-in-one is awesome. It's just it even gives you. It says, "Okay, an update's ready." You go to a page, and it shuts down your containers. It's all container-based, and then updates the containers, and then you start your containers, and everything's updated. And you have a choice that page to back up everything too, if you want.
Yeah, well, I used to have it like installed traditionally, and then you're going through all the updates, and it just got flakier and flakier and flakier. Yep. Until the end, it was like I didn't have the knowledge to actually try and fix it. I was like, so at the end, you just have to just nuke it. But I've gone to that all in one, and as I say, I moved it from one server to the other, and all I did was do a backup. I then went to the other one, run the containers up, imported the backup, and it was like, that was an excellent migration, and it just seamless.
It is awesome. You know, Upboard has a new computer out now too, called the Up 7000. Let's see.
I'm coming away from all these like boards and Raspberry Pis and everything because, like, you know, you can get some of these x86 small form computers and stuff like that are half the price and five times the power, you know?
Yeah, we've preached that before. Like, we had a big discussion just about the Raspberry Pi, if it's still worth it to get it. I think we all kind of came down on the side that unless you need GPIO pins or something specific to the hardware, that you can save money and get a lot more power bang for your buck by just getting a cheap Wise, you know, thin client or something like that from eBay, x86-64, and you'll have way more power and options as well, you know. Wow.
Yeah, and like and people say about the power, but you know what? By the time you've bought your SD cards and you've corrupted an SD card every 12 months or anything, it more than pays for the electricity bill for a year or two anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to kibosh that right there because you can do it off a USB now. It's built into the firmware now. You don't have to jump through all the hoops like you used to, so you do not need to run off the micro SD card.
Yeah, you can.
I was after a zero. I've been doing that Pi KVM, but my board failed. I had a zero Pi W, but they don't support that anymore. So I tried to get a zero Pi 2W, and they had them in the local shop near to me because I tried to buy one. I'm in Canada, and how much are they? About $20, but they're like over $20 for the postage. So I went to the local shop here, this electronics shop, and Zero Pi 2W, he says, oh, we only sell them in kits. So I said, okay, what comes in the kit? And he said, well, small, you know, SD card, a couple of cables and power supply. And it was $85. $85 Canadian.
Yeah, no. No, I know exactly what you mean. Now, lately, my Micro Center has had, like, the 4s and I think the Picos, but they did not have the 0s when I looked. And I do look for the 0s because, you know, they're actually the affordable option now. And I actually have a couple left still that I'm not using. I'm about to hook one up here in a little while. But, it has gotten atrocious, one, trying to find them, and two, actually trying to afford them. They're supposed to be affordable. Why are they not affordable anymore?
Right. I think that's the biggest thing. Is I think if they went back to their original, what were they, like $30? The Raspberry Pi was like $30 to begin with.
That was the point of them.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And the Zero Pi, when it first came out, it was on the magazine cover free. Now, right. I tried to buy one with a transformer, with a power supply and an SD card the other day because I thought, well, that's the only way he was going to sell it. It was 85 Canadian. That's over 100 US.
Yeah. I remember I tried to get that magazine on the day that it came out. I went to, you know, my local bookstore and my local Barnes & Nobles because they were supposed to get them in. And somebody bought all of them. The place only got like five of them, and somebody bought all five. And it's like, thanks.
Buttholes.
It was Danny.
It was me.
I was living in El Paso at the time.
It was still me. I went there just to buy them.
Yeah, because I still have several little Pis and stuff around here and single board computers. But, I mean, I am definitely not looking to get any anytime soon. I'm just trying to utilize what I got. And, you know, most of them are doing something. And I like them. I like the single board computer. I love the idea of the single board computer. But with the Raspberry Pi 5, I wonder how well that's actually going to start selling. I mean,
oh, it'll sell. Like crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, especially since they actually added in the ability to put on a hat and have M.2.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will do a lot better than you might think. And they did, you know, kind of separate out the USB and the Ethernet so you're not getting that bandwidth limitation there.
Right.
So these are a lot better, but what price are they selling them at? The $85 price point?
I think you would be right, yeah.
What's the power supply on them? Like over 3 amp or something?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a beefy power supply.
Mm-hmm. 5 volt.
5 amp.
5 volt, 5 amp.
Are you sure? I don't think so.
I don't know. Hold on.
Yeah, got to be at least 3 amp.
Oh. I think it's 5 amp.
I'll just have a look at it now.
Is it really?
27-watt USB-C power supply is the one that they sell with it.
That's crazy.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I got plenty of high-end, power supply, USB-C power supplies for my phone and stuff, but...
At 27 watts, you'd be warming your room up.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird that it's that high. Unless you got a ton of peripherals on it that just sucking juice.
Well, let me click on Micro Center. It is $80 at Micro Center.
For which, how many gigabytes?
Yeah. This does not say 8 gigabyte.
8 gigabyte.
Yeah, well, that's just the board, isn't it? And then by the time you bought all your peripherals, it's over $100, isn't it?
Oh yeah, easy.
Does the 5 still require cooling?
I would put cooling on it.
Because I got the 4, but I did the all metal case, so it's a passive cooling.
You could
as
do
opposed
it
to
probably,
the massive fans you can, that people were getting.
Yeah, you could probably do it with passive cooling if you're not, bogging it down too much.
I've still got a i1 in continuous use.
I used to. It died, though. What do you use yours for?
So, I actually live in Canada, but I'm actually from the UK. You can probably guess by the accent. But
Wouldn't have guessed it.
But so what I've got a SIM card. I've got a UK cell phone SIM card. And what I've done is I've got a it's not a dongle. Is it by Waveshare? It's a modem card. So I put that in there and I've set it up so that if anybody calls it or texts it, then it converts it into an email and sends me, say, either a missed call or sends me the text. And I use it as like a SMS gateway.
So how does the SIM card connect to the Pi?
So I've got, I think they're made by Waveshare. It's a modem. Like a SIM card, it's like a small PCB, and you can either put it onto the GPIO or it's got its own USB cable. But the GPIO, I think it's only for the 2, 3, and 4 upwards. It won't fit on the Pi one. So, but I just have it connected to the USB, and it's absolutely flawless. The uptime is like months on end.
That's awesome. I wish mine was still running. So, do you? The SIM card, so do you need a plan for that as well?
Well, the beauty on the British SIM cards, I don't know what it's like in the US, but in Canada, you've got to pay like $10 a month, and after a month, you've got to pay another $10.
Right.
But in the UK, you can get a SIM card, and sometimes you can get them for free anyway, or for a pound. It's like, they're basically free. You can put like £10 of credit on there, and if you just don't never use it, all you've got to do is make one call or one text every 6 months to keep it active, and that costs you like pennies. And so I load it up, and like with £10 or something, and it'll last me years.
Oh, that's great!
Nice. Yeah, I got a banana pie here that's running. I'm going to guess. No, it's RV. Running CentOS. Banana Pi is running CentOS, and it's running our show notes. And I really haven't done much of anything into it for it in a long time. It's running the show notes in a Docker container. The Etherpad.
I've only ever used one of them like offshoot ones. I've got, I think it might be an Orange Pi. And it went into meltdown. It literally got that hot once all the case melted around it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Orange Pi is what happened there.
Yeah, especially the earlier ones, I think they used to get really hot.
Well, I've got my Pi 4, which is currently connected to my 3D printer, running Octoprint. And then I've got this Pi 0 with a USB hat on it that I had set up for wireless USB sharing. So that I could use a headset with it and walk around with it, but the Wi-Fi wasn't good enough for it. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this and I'm going to turn it into a little mini emulation machine. Now, I know the Pi Zero isn't going to do much, but I basically want it to play Nintendo. So and then I've got this screen that I got for Christmas over here. I'm trying to see it there. Hold on. There it is.
my RetroPie.
Yeah, yeah. Mine, my Pi 4 is in that exact same case.
Oh.
So I got this screen here, and it does HDMI, so I'm going to set that up just to do a little bit of retro gaming. Have fun with that on this, since this hasn't seen use since the last thing I tested it for. But I really like this hat.
Yeah. How many USBs does it give for the W?
Four.
Four? That's not bad.
Yeah, I've got a Pi 3 running on the system as well, and got an Audroid C2 running the Octoprint. That works pretty good.
Anybody get anything good for Christmas there?
Got that screen.
How big?
That's an 11-inch screen.
All right.
Buster got a new litter box.
I heard all about that litter box.
It's very special.
And ooh. I got a $100 gift card for Micro Center that I spent all but $35 on. So just some connectors, because Bill sent me a graphics card that has just the display. It has four DisplayPort outs, so I needed some adapters for that. And then I did get a new voltmeter, which I was using today. And then, just, you know, little stuff, really. But I had fun. Christmas was awesome.
My family had a white elephant gift exchange or Yankee swap, sometimes what people call it.
I've heard of Yankee swap, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. That's what we usually do on Christmas. So, you pick a gift and somebody can steal it if they want, and everybody gets one by the end of it. And,
I usually end up doing a white elephant for work, and I usually end up going to a party where we do a white elephant, but the party got canceled for medical reasons for one of the people. But you were saying?
So, everybody gets a present. If nobody's done it before, what you do is you draw numbers, and whatever number you get is your turn to draw a present. Everybody brings one present, and you draw a present. And our rules are that you can draw get whatever present you want, and then it can be stolen from you twice. And this, you know, after it's been stolen twice, it can't be stolen again. That's the cutoff point. So if there's something really good that everybody wants, everybody's trying to steal it, but it can only be passed around two more times. So anyway, I ended up with it's like a ear cleaner, but it has a camera and a light in it, and you can connect it to your phone, and you can see inside your ear and up your nose and wherever you're cleaning.
That just sounds too gross.
It is. It's weird looking.
And why would anybody want to do that?
It's just interesting, you know.
No, part of the point of the white elephant is to have the, you know, cheesiest stupidest gift.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, so, a guy I work with got very similar to what you're talking about. He brought it into work yesterday.
Really?
We were looking at it in his ear. Yeah, it's pretty it's pretty crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it? And you actually see, and you can record the video, or you can take pictures too. Yeah. I'll have to put some recorded video on me cleaning my ear.
I'm just thinking, after a few beers, how far would that go? Would it be not socially acceptable?
Yeah, really. Which hole would it go into?
I wasn't going to say that.
But that's what I got. Oh. And then we had one at work, a white elephant party. And I wish I would have thought of this, because it was a great idea. But somebody, their present was it was like a 12-inch by 18-inch frame photo of themselves just smiling like that. And nobody was trying to steal that present, so to the person that got it, it was just stuck with it.
You should have seen the look on Hockey's face when you said 12-inch.
No, it was a photo, frame photo. But, yeah, it was funny. It was great. I wish I would have thought of that. It was a great gift idea. It was just a photo of him just sitting there and smiling.
He could have had a filter of the inside of your ear. That would have been even better.
Yeah, there you go. Give that away. Nobody will try and steal that unless they're just weirdo. But yeah, so it's hanging up on the wall right now at work.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, today I picked up 4 cases of Liquid Death.
What flavor?
All of them were convicted melon, but I was able to get them at $9.99 each.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
you lucky bastard.
I know, right?
What's that? What are you talking about?
It's a carbonated flavored water, but it's really good. Liquid Death. Are you, Fat Boy, do you know the Jitsi address?
No.
Here, I'll post it in the Mumble chat. And you don't have to show yourself, but you can at least see what we're talking about.
We're not sponsored by Liquid Death. It's just no, for but whatever
we should
reason,
be, as much as we talk right? about it. You know?
Right. As much as we extol the virtues of Liquid Death.
To be fair, I've tried the teas, and I'm not impressed with the teas, but the lime I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, they did have one lime there, but I didn't pick that one up.
Is that your favorite, Hunky? The what was it called? Severed lime?
Yeah, well, that's basically all I've tried. I tried one of each of the teas, and then I tried the lime, and I really liked the lime a lot.
I like the
mango is good.
Yeah, my favorite is the mango chainsaw.
Okay, I think that's here. My favorite, too, yeah.
I was not impressed with the teas.
I tried the half lemonade, melon. Half tea one. Yeah, it's okay.
The
Armless Palmer.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one.
The berry one's pretty good, too, I think. But, yeah, mango is definitely my favorite.
The Buried Alive, yeah. I like the Buried Alive.
Oh, I like that one, too. What Fat Boy, what I like about it is it's not like... What is the one that's everybody buys, the sparkling flavored water that's just people
There's
go crazy over...
Crazy
it's the big brand.
Perrier?
No, it's not Perrier. It comes in cans and stuff, too, and it's...
San Pellegrino?
No, LaCroix.
LaCroix. Okay.
Yeah, it's like LaCroix, except it has a little bit of sweetness. What do they use, like agave nectar or something?
Yep, so agave.
But it's not overly sweet, so it's actually really good.
Everybody says there's no flavor in it.
I like it. I think it's just right.
Yeah, it's not bad. I drink it.
I mean, I don't really drink sodas and stuff like that, so it has, because they're too sweet, you know, but it has just the right amount of sweetness for me.
All right, Fatboy, you're going to have to mute Jitsi.
Yeah, it should be just a microphone that you can tap on your screen.
I wonder if he's using the microphone for, it's not going to screw up.
No, Mumble. No, you just mute the Jitsi in the browser.
Right. And
it should work fine. There you go.
Well, there he is.
Yep.
Hello.
Yeah. So if you mouse over your browser, you'll see a little microphone and a camera to the left. And if you just click on that microphone, it'll mute your Jitsi microphone and your Mumble microphone will still be available. But that way we don't hear like a... Mm-hmm. Yeah. That way we don't hear a double up of you. There you go. You're good now. Because we don't record the audio of the Jitsi, just of the Mumble, and then we record the video of the Jitsi. But it's up to you if you want to be on the Jitsi or not. Just thought we'd show you what we were talking about. Show them that can, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we're talking about, Liquid Death. You ever seen that in the supermarket or anything?
Just wait. I'll just go and get some carbonated drink of my own.
I should do that, too. I've got some of those THC sodas in the fridge.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab one.
Is that legal in Texas?
No, these aren't from Texas.
Breaking the law. Texans coming after you.
I actually got a car stereo for Christmas.
Really?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Like the Android Auto?
It's not necessarily an Android Auto. It's from a company called Leadfan, and it's like a cheaper thing, but it's got the ability. It's got a USB connectability, and it has the screen sharing connectability. So I can, which is great because so many regular car stereos have USB to it, but the only thing you can do is like the phone. It doesn't do audio or anything. It's sort of have to plug in auxiliary just to do the audio.
Right.
It you have to do like segregate everything with it. This, like, all audio goes through, can go through the Bluetooth. And then I can plug the USB into it and then do screen sharing, and so I can just, like, if I want to do maps, I can just have it share the screen for Google Maps and have that on the screen.
Or watch porn.
Or do that, sure, if you want to.
While driving down the road.
Yes, you can. So I was going to, go to one of the local shops.
I've actually seen someone actually, like, have their phone set up, and then, you know, they were watching porn when I drove past them.
Yeah, yourself.
I was going to bring it to a place and have them put it in for me, because I haven't done anything like that in a long time. And I was told by the guy that they wouldn't, because it wasn't something like a Kenwood or, a Panasonic or something like that. They're like, we're not going to touch this at all. So I went, all right, fuck you. I'm just going to learn how to do it myself. And I did. I proudly put that in myself.
Really? I need to put in a new stereo, because mine is like from 2002, 2001.
Oh, yeah.
And the adapter, so that I can, like, hook my phone up to the cassette player. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's old. So, but the problem is that I also need to, Trailhoppers IPA, cool. I also need to replace all the speakers in my car, because they're also from 2001, and they're blown. So,
oh.
Yeah. I have the 6x9s, but I need some 5 1/4s for the front.
This flavor is blood orange cardamom.
You just going to sit here and get high.
It's like a cannabis soda. It's really good.
It's really good.
Does it get you messed up?
Well, I mean, just one doesn't really. It just gives you a little nice little buzz. But they have big cans too. I got the small cans.
You should bring some by.
I don't remember how much they were. I got them in a 6-pack.
Okay.
You should bring some to San Diego. You want some?
My wife would.
They're good. And I like them because they're not too sweet either. It's just a little bit of sweetness and a kind of a nice flavor.
I'm simply not a fan of being high. I have no problem against it or anything like that. I just don't like the feeling.
I don't get too high. I like to get a little buzz. But I don't like to be sunk in the couch and just like a piece of crap, you know, just not even moving. So, because I don't drink a lot of alcohol. So if I do, it's like New Year's Eve, I drink some, and maybe 3-4 times a year at most.
Mostly if I drink, it's on camera with you guys.
Yeah.
We're bad influences on you.
it's always when I'm going out or with friends, you know.
I have like one really big glass of like whiskey or something, and then that's basically it.
Yeah, heroin is your thing, not so much alcohol.
If you're going to be a junkie, you got to do it right. What do you want me to say?
I've seen you nodding off. No, that's Honky.
That's me.
Yeah, he's the nodder.
Yeah, but him, it's not heroin. It's actually morphine.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a drip going right into his arm.
The precursor to heroin.
Anyways, what about you, Lovecraft? You been working on anything? Any projects? I remember you had that touchscreen computer there.
Yeah, I haven't gotten much further with that. My whole December was just eaten up with parties and, we hosted a big open house party. Yeah, not too much drugs. A lot of drinking, though. Like 4 or 5 different parties. We had a big open house. It was like an all-day thing, like 10 hours of people coming and going, and yeah, it was just pretty much just work and parties all December, but definitely looking forward to things slowing down a little bit and get back into having some actual free time. But a little bit of free time at least.
Now, do any of y'all, Lovecraft, did you make any New Year's resolution, or do any of you guys do that?
Nothing in particular.
You just kind of consider it pointless?
Yeah, there's always going to be a curveball. So, you know, New Year's resolution.
Yeah. New Year's resolutions rarely make it past February. So,
yeah. So I was at the gym the day after New Year's Day.
Even when I had a gym membership, I would not go to the gym in January.
It was shoulder to shoulder in there. It was so crowded. I was like, all I could do is just go. I found an elliptical machine in the corner. I just jumped on that. But I know none of those people will be there in February, so I don't have long to wait.
Yeah, by February the 1st, you'll be the only guy in there.
Pretty much, yeah. Now, my neighbor did get, he moved out and gave me a rowing machine that was kind of cool. Well, I bought it from him for $25, but I never had one. I never really used one either, and I like it. I'll just put it in front of the TV, and I can do some rowing. It's pretty small and compact. It's not folding, but it is compact and small. It uses a like a hydraulic kind of piston on the bottom, you know, to give you resistance instead of like the water wheel or the air wheel. So it's pretty small. I think he said it has Bluetooth and stuff on it. I haven't figured all that out, but supposedly there's an app that you can use with it and project it to your TV and do workouts and stuff. But I've just been watching movies and getting on it. It's pretty easy. So I didn't make any resolutions. I've been doing pretty good, you know, so far this past year. So I'll just kind of stick with that.
I do need to do more cardio, but that's just me.
And I have been doing that. So
I need to do more cardio because my HDL is low. Now my LDL is perfectly fine, but my HDL is low. Yeah. And what's really weird is you guys, I told you guys that I had started on the testosterone therapy. I had my quarterly checkup, my first quarterly checkup, and my testosterone numbers were actually lower.
What? How is that possible?
He upped my dose, and he's testing me again in another 3 months. It shouldn't be possible.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's thinking it was a lab mistake, so... In March, I go back again, and I'll get tested again.
And you have to pay for this, your doses, right? Or no, you don't pay for them?
It's through the VA.
Oh, okay. At least there's that.
Yeah, I get disability because I damaged my testicles while I was in the military. Because
you're all falling apart. Well, that's weird. So you go from low to even lower on TRT. How does that happen?
I don't know.
And you haven't really changed anything like sleep patterns or anything like that, right?
No, I mean, I get just as little sleep as I always have.
You should be getting more sleep, for one thing.
I should, but, you know.
What is little sleep for you?
I have sleep disorders. I average 4 hours.
Okay. That's way too low.
I average usually about 5.
Really?
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, just about 6 if I'm lucky.
Yeah, I get 8 or 9 hours a night.
I wish. If there were 29 hours in a day, then maybe I could get like 7 hours of sleep. But
yeah, me and my cat were always sleeping.
Today I just didn't feel good this morning, so I did like call in sick to work. And
you did?
So I slept from like midnight to like 11. I really didn't feel good. So
okay, are you guys night people or morning people? Like, do you go to bed late and get up late, or do you go to bed late and get up early, no matter what?
No matter what.
Go to bed on
I'm
time.
All over the place. Yeah, sometimes I can be like, I'll work away if I'm working on one of the servers or something. I'll be there till like 3 or 4 o'clock, and then other times I want to go to bed at 9 o'clock, and I'm just all over the place.
So you don't have really a set sleep schedule then?
No, but I sleep pretty well. Apart from last night, I was I went skiing yesterday, and oh man, I had the worst wipeout that I've had for a few years.
Ooh.
I went sliding down that mountain, 50, 60, 70 yards.
Damn.
Luckily, I didn't tumble and didn't break anything, but oh man, I was stiff this morning.
But you were sore.
I'm really glad I moved away from snow.
Well, I was going to say, Honky looks pretty cold there. Whereabouts, what's the temperature like where you are?
Probably in the 20s right now. Yeah, 24. I'm in Massachusetts, so.
Computer, what's the temperature?
It's 46 here.
Oh, what you're talking about foreign Fahrenheit stuff, aren't you?
Yeah.
So what's 20? That's about minus 10 C, isn't it? Something like
that. Is math?
Yes, that would be in the negatives. Anything below 32 would be in the negatives for Celsius.
Well, we have an international audience, you know. We should pay attention to that. We already had somebody complain that we don't say the time in UTC.
We have the... Yeah, it's 25 here in the land of the netmine.
Now, what is that in Celsius?
About negative 8.
Negative 8, okay.
I'm probably completely wrong.
It's 27 Fahrenheit here.
Who said it was 27 Fahrenheit? Who was that?
Lovecraft.
Actually... There's one temperature where Fahrenheit and centigrade don't matter. It's 42 below.
And that's quite often where I live.
Not much matters at 42 below, okay? Other than moving away.
I mean, I don't know about you, but in Canada, yeah, I'm in Alberta, Calgary.
So what's the temperature there?
It's 27F, but that is warm. It's really warm for this time of year, which is about 27F is. About 2 degrees C, but we're about 20 degrees higher than what we normally are.
Look, so you should be in single digits.
I used to live in Iowa, and I am quite aware of what negative 30 feels like.
Now, Amarillo in Texas, they're getting a big snowstorm. Did you see that, Joe?
No, I did not, and I hope they keep it.
I think it's on its way.
Dallas does not do well with snow.
No.
No matter, are you prepared for the weekend?
Yeah, I was just bringing in the last of my ice chippers and stuff.
Y'all have a storm coming?
Well, I stepped away. Oh, yes. Unfortunately... This one is going to go back and forth between snow, sleet. I call it a Heinz 57 special.
Yeah, it's going back and forth between fuck that and no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they're talking about it being 20s overnight, which means if you don't get it cleaned up, skating rink is part of the whole deal, but if you don't really get things shoveled or scraped off, everything turns to concrete.
Yeah.
And it stays like that.
Yeah, I remember one winter around near my house, there's a post office with parking area, and we had one of those wet snow winters. And they had potholes. They weren't in the road. They were in the 3 or 4 inches of ice on top of the road.
Yep. Actually,
look, all this talk is making me cold.
You're welcome.
I live in the South for a reason, damn it.
All right. Do we want to go to the discussion the things we've kind of thought of as discussion topics, or do we want to go jump into the movie and then go to the discussion topics?
All right, let's do the movie real quick.
Let's do the movie.
Yeah. Has everybody seen it or not seen it? Anybody not seen it?
That boy, have you ever seen Cybertracker 2 with Don the Dragon Wilson?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
I'm not a big movie guy, but I didn't even know. No, I've not seen that movie. No,
we're about to talk about it. Lovecraft.
You're not missing anything.
I did.
All right, let's start the theme.
Oh, here we go.
The Linux Movie Cast.
What you do is you take Terminator and you remove the time travel aspect of it, and you have Cybertracker 2.
This is a... Well, you're not wrong. I'll give you that. So we saw Cybertracker, the one or the original, I don't know, it's been several months now. That was one of our picks. Starring Don the Dragon Wilson, who, if you don't know, is the greatest actor of all time. And this was a straight-to-video release, just like the first one. Let's see, what year is that? 1995. And this kind of, the first one was about a conspiracy where they used these, also, I would say RoboCop is a good comparison as well.
Probably. It's about the robotic police officers, basically.
Right. And so,
cyborg police officers.
So
yeah, the one guy straight up looked like a cheap version of RoboCop.
That's what he was. The first one was about they were introducing these robots as police officers, and of course there was a conspiracy where things went wrong, and somebody was using them for evil purposes, and there was a what they call in this movie a terrorist organization, but really they were like a resistance, underground resistance that Don the Dragon Wilson was a part of, and his wife, against these robot cops in the first one. So the second one, supposedly everything is cool now with the robot cops, and they're in use, and nobody's abusing their power or anything like that, except that there is one man who wants to. What state is this supposed to be in? Do you know?
I don't know.
He's the governor of. Is it California?
It looked like California.
Yeah, I think really the one license plate I think looked like a California plate.
Yeah, I think it's California. So he is the lieutenant governor, I guess, and he currently has a plan where he's involved with a bad guy who used to be part of the CIA, and now he's the bad guy has stolen technology from the Cybertracker project, when Cybertrackers are these robot policemen, and he's made his own Cybertrackers to be his like private army or whatever. So the lieutenant governor.
Oh, he's made them look like specific people
So the lieutenant governor, I'm giving you kind of the inside baseball on it, so if you haven't seen it, you don't want to be spoiled, just fast forward this. But the lieutenant governor has entered into a deal with him to claim the governorship by assassinating the current governor, and the assassin is one of the Cybertrackers that is, I wouldn't say disguised, but I guess is made to look like Don the Dragon Wilson's wife, who is a reporter, a news reporter. And so she shows up at the Cybertracker shows up news conference for the governor, and she shoots the governor. And so now the lieutenant governor is in control, which is what he wanted, and he has the Cybertracker program behind him. And since it was Don the Dragon's wife that was seen on TV shooting the governor, everybody's after her. And they're also after Don the Dragon Wilson, who is a cop working for this whatever city this is in, police force. So they're on the run, and they're trying to fight back against not only the Cybertrackers, but they have the real police against them. And it's got lots of action and gunfights and cool technology. And
Don the Dragon Wilsons.
Yeah. And if you ever want to see, also, if you're wanting to see Cybertracker against Cybertracker, you see that in this movie too. They fight each other. Yeah. One is a clone of Don the Dragon Wilson. The other is number nine. And so if you saw the first one, this one is, I would say, a bigger budget. It's better made as far as like direction and action sequences and stuff like that go. But it just doesn't have the charm of the first one, because the first one was so goofy, I think, and had so many crazy moments in it. So I would say maybe this is why Joe was bored, because it wasn't as batshit crazy as the first one was, would you say, Joe?
I would have to agree with that. There was nothing in this movie that really captured me.
It was kind of generic, right?
Yeah, it was very, here's an action movie, from the 90s. Woo!
Yeah, it was very generic, very standard action movie. I will say it was better made, but that's not always a good thing, especially if it's you're looking for something goofy and something fun to laugh at and stuff. And I don't know. I kind of feel the same way. I still liked it. I mean, it's a decent movie. It wasn't boring to me. But it didn't have the charm of the first one, because the first one was so bad.
It was missing character.
Yeah, missing that certain je ne sais quoi, you know, the whatever it is that made it so ridiculous in the first one. I still enjoyed it. I watched it on YouTube mostly at work, and the quality on the YouTube copy was actually pretty good. So
yeah. It's a good thing you mentioned it yesterday, because I remembered to watch it last night.
Oh, really? You forgot about watching it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while since we did it.
I know. So. But, I thought if you like watching things explode, then this is the movie for you.
Lots of explosions.
Lots of cars exploding. There was a whole chase scene where the only thing he did was just shoot cars and watch them explode. Lots of explosions, lots of useless gunfights, where people would either show up and can't shoot anything, or people would show up and they would just die automatically. It was kind of flipper coin at the time. There was the beginning scene with the shootout, where a cop would just pull up, and the second they pulled up, the bad guys up in the tower were just boom, 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 and then gone. And then just spend the rest of the time shooting at nothing. And then, you know, the cops would just show up and they'd just be shooting at nothing the entire time and maybe hit, like, wing one guy. And then there'd be, like, the shootout down the hallway. Nobody is undercover whatsoever, but they're just sitting there shooting at each other and not hitting anything.
And all the barrels are exploding, and nobody's getting hurt.
No, yeah, exactly.
And you had Don the Dragon Wilson, and you had very, very few fist fights.
Yeah, right. I agree with that, too. Like, there was one kind of that lasted maybe 2 minutes when he was fighting the main bad guy at the end, you know? Mm. Oh, and here's something. They built up half the movie to the super supreme cyber tracker the guy built. Right. And he lasts, like, 30 seconds, and he gets shot with that, whatever that ray gun thing is that comes out of the ceiling by Don the Dragon Wilson. You see like electricity go around him, and then he's just gone. He's dead. So all that buildup for nothing, you know, he was actually just a big pussy. I noticed something, and I may be crazy, but I could swear that at that shootout in the beginning, when the governor is assassinated, that footage was the exact same footage that was in the first one, too.
I think you're right.
You think I'm right?
People jumping around in the by the park or whatever.
Yeah. So I remember that the black guy that was shooting, and he was, and then him getting shot. Like, but where did those guys come from? You know, they don't say anything about that. And I think they just cut it from the first movie and put it in this one.
I think so.
Because I was having, like, severe deja vu. I was like, man, I know I've seen that shootout before.
You need to mute your jitsi again, fat boy.
But I'm glad I'm not crazy, because I think that's true.
I think you're true. I think that's right, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it enough to be able to say that particular shot was in the first one. So
I think it was. But other than that, you know, it was generic, but it was entertaining enough. I wouldn't say it was a terrible movie. I would just say it was just kind of whatever.
Cheesy. Blah,
generic, you know?
Yeah, cheesy action movie.
It just didn't have the fun that I liked about the first one that made it so ridiculous, you know? But other than that, what about you, Lovecraft? What did you think about it?
It was all right. I mean, if we're talking stars, I'm thinking like 2 stars. I mean, the acting was pretty flat. I mean, there was a little bit of desire there. At the very beginning, I swear, like when he was making the buy for the counterfeit money at the very, very beginning, I swear some of the cops had, like, they were shooting like these blue lasers, like they were shooting.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe we should get some more of these laser guns. And then, like, it's just all like bullets the rest of the movie. I'm like, oh,
right.
Maybe maybe the special effects budget ran out or something like that. But I was waiting to see some laser guns, and I'm like, yeah, it never really happened except for the pop out gun from the ceiling, which just kills everything. But yeah. I was, you know, hoping for a better mix of weapons or something like that. But yeah, definitely, probably not the worst movie we've watched, but, yeah, it's,
pretty generic.
If you did watch it on YouTube though, I don't know if we watched it on the same channel, but wherever that was hosted, there's like a couple hundred other movies of similar ilk, which
I subscribe to that
you
channel.
May be interested. Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of other ones on there. There's some more Don the Dragon Wilson ones and some other, B movies from that era.
Yeah. But that flat acting, that's basically Don's signature right there. I mean, that's all he does.
Yeah, the name of the channel is called Vintage Action.
Yep,
and it's got all of the shows, like all of the movies are this same thing. Prey of the Jaguar, Future Kick starring Don the Dragon Wilson, Assault on Devil's Island, Riot, Live by the Fist, Crime Zone. I mean, these are all movies that nobody gives a shit about the copyright, so he can just upload them to YouTube. And they're all there, the full things. Yeah, if you do a search for Cybertracker 2, you see that channel, Vintage Action, definitely check that out, because it's got some great
gems. I will give the movie this. Better than Universal Soldiers.
Well, yeah.
That is a very low bar. I mean, there's a lot of almost every movie.
That is the
Universal
bottom of the bar.
That's the lowest bar.
That's the lowest bar, yeah. I mean, that's above, what was the other one?
That mech one, what was it called?
Yeah. What the hell was it called?
Oh, Gunhead?
Gunhead, that's right.
Gunhead.
Yes. Yeah. That was
it's down there
Gunhead.
With Universal Soldiers, I'd say.
But Universal Soldiers right above Gunhead.
Oh,
I can follow Gunhead.
I can follow
Universal Soldiers. Universal Soldiers just bottom. That's it.
Yeah, I would say that's the very bottom.
Yeah.
With Gunhead right above it.
Right. All of the Maniac Cop films, I think, are on that YouTube channel.
Are they really?
Those are pretty fun.
Yeah, the first one's got Campbell. What's his name?
Bruce
Campbell, right? Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to give it a hesitant thumbs up. I don't know about you guys. So thumbs down from Joe. What about you? Half a star?
That's a
Lovecraft, star. What about you?
1.5 stars.
So would you say that's a half star, like a half thumb, or a thumbs up, or a thumbs down?
I think I'm going to have to go down.
Okay, so you and Joe, thumbs down. Honky, half a star, and me, a full... Or no, I'm going to give it half a star, too.
There we go.
So it gets one star.
One
thumbs up.
Which I don't think
I'll give it a half a star.
Half a star. So we got 1.5 now.
Who was that?
Mortensen.
Oh, hey, you watched Mortensen. It? I didn't know you were here.
Yeah, I did. I watched it.
So, all right. 1.5 stars for Cybertracker.
Well, technically, it got negative half a star.
Well, because we don't do it like that, okay? We're not that mean around here.
Negative half a star.
Now, another thing. It's not just in this movie, but I think it's just weird in general whenever I see this. And tell me if you feel the same way or don't. When robots carry human guns, is that strange?
It is a little strange.
Like, especially a robot that's made to be a cop has to carry a regular gun. Shouldn't it just have
like a gun arm?
Yeah, like a gun arm or guns in its chest or something like that.
But you don't want to make it too scary.
That limits its availability to
the training. All the training videos all the videos I've seen of the Cyberdyne robots use regular guns, regular weapons.
And they're just holding it?
And they're just...
You haven't seen those?
No, I never heard of that.
They're remember the mechanical dogs?
Yeah.
And now they're standing upright with and holding weapons.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
And they do the... gun range stuff where you're shooting the stuff in the distance,
yeah,
but people are interfering with them, like hitting them with metal pipes and stuff, and they have to adjust to random scenarios. It's scary.
So are those going to be soldiers now?
No.
I don't know what they're going to do with them. Probably private security for the elite.
Crazy. I don't like that.
There was some, I don't remember what movie it was. It was probably a really big one, like Blade Runner or something. But they go out and the AI started building itself. And they were like weird animal, insect-type creatures. And I don't remember how they were using weapons, but I don't think it was... I think they had switched from handguns. Like
that sounds like Stargate, Atlantis, Stargate Atlantis or something.
I was going to say, it sounds like one of the movies we watched.
It might have been one of the movies we watched.
Huh. What the hell was that one called?
I don't remember that one.
That's the one where that weird little robot part was found, and then it just started assimilating everything around it.
Or it built itself. It was a warbot.
Yes.
Or part of a warbot, and it like built itself and repaired itself, and
yes,
that really? Girl, and yeah,
Robotrix.
No.
Front of Robotrix.
That's the last time we bring porn onto this channel.
I don't remember. Alita Battle Angel?
No, it wasn't Alita Battle Angel. It had like one known actor on it.
It was?
I can't remember.
It's
the husband.
I don't know. This doesn't sound familiar.
I think at the end it like busted through the window. It'd been like hanging outside. Yeah.
Hardware
from 1990.
Like, you had to wear gas masks and stuff to go outside or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that. That's a good movie.
Iggy Pop and, Lemmy from Motorhead was in it.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Lemmy was in there for like a half a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they even had Gwar was on the TV playing in the background. I remember that.
Yep, she was listening to Gwar or something when she was working.
Yep. Grow back the beard, Mordency.
Just pull your hair around to your chin and make a beard. Okay, so we're ready for the next movie? Yeah, like that. Like a Fu Manchu or something. All right. The next movie. Oh, wait, let me get the drum roll. There we go. It's Virtual Combat from 1996. That sounds like a winner.
Sorry, what was that?
That's the next movie we're going to watch. Virtual Combat from 1996. Well, this is 95. Oh, it's got Don the Dragon Wilson in it. Okay. Straight to video. It says... Scientist brings virtual reality characters to life. Two are women from the cybersex game site. The third is a warrior who wants to unleash the rest of the bad guys from the virtual reality underworld. A border cop must defeat the virtual reality warrior while learning to relate to one of the cybersex babes.
Oh, you know the acting awesome. Is going to be epic in this.
Well, I mean, it's got Don Wilson in it, so.
Right.
It's got Rip Taylor and the voice of Michael Dorn.
It sure does. That's there Rip Taylor. There he is. Michael Dorn.
So how is it?
Dexter.
How are you picking it? Is it generated? Of what are you using there?
I've got a script, a Python script that picks it from all it's on
the list that we have put a list. Together.
Yeah, we have a list that we've put together. So the criteria initially was that it has to be somewhat tech related, but that line is a very thin line.
We try. If the description says something like it's based on a game and they're told by the game to do things, and then it turns into a demon movie, that's not my fault.
We're gonna blame you anyways. That's all right.
So I'll put a link to the movie list in the Bumble chat, and it's anybody can edit it, and if you have anything you want to watch, Fat Boy, you can add it to the list, as long as it's tech related. That's the only rule. Actually, there's two rules. It can't be a movie you've already seen. That's the first rule. If somebody else has seen it, that's fine, and it must be a tech movie.
Not tangentially tech movie,
tech related in some way.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. So.
Okay, it's asking me for a password.
What? You went through this last time.
Yeah, mine's saying username and password. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe something happened.
Don't blame me. Again.
All right, I'm going to copy a link. Try this link.
So is this like Virtuosity with Don Dragon Wilson?
Put another link in there. See if that one works.
Yep, that asking. Worked.
Okay, cool. Do what? What'd you say? Oh, yeah. Is it like Virtuosity? It sounds kind of like it, right?
It sounds kind of like Virtuosity with Don Dragon Wilson.
Did it work for you, Fat Boy?
Yeah, I've just got a Markdown document or an MD document or something.
Yeah, and you can edit that. You can look at the movies that the ones we've seen have a hash next to them so they don't get picked up by the script.
We need more.
Add more? But not ones you've seen. You'd like to do that.
Only if I haven't seen them in like 20 years.
You can, even if you've already seen them 20 years ago, that still counts.
The only one I recognize is Weird Science.
Yeah, we haven't watched that yet. We have a script that picks the movie at random, and so we just got to watch whatever it gives us.
You know, not having watched them before is how we end up with movies with demons.
That's fine. Hey, that was an interesting movie, I thought. Not so much tech-related. Well, I guess I had the game in there.
Barely.
Yeah, but it's okay.
It was tech tangential.
It was never a movie I would have watched otherwise, so this exposed me to something new.
Now, I'm surprised you've not got War Games.
War Games is on here.
Yeah, we've already seen it.
War Games The Dead Code was on here.
We saw that too, right?
Yeah.
War Games is not on here.
Everybody had watched it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, everybody probably has seen it at some point.
You're right. That's why we had the dead code on there. Yeah, if somebody's seen it, we don't add it, or they can't add it.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you can add it.
Yeah.
But if you have, you can't be the one to add it.
Right.
Wasn't Heavy... You've got...
Cut out there. I don't know what you said.
Was Heavy Metal a cartoon, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be animated.
And so is Titan A.E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember trying to... Getting in the cinema, and I was underage to try and watch that. And I think it had a 14 in the UK, it had something like 14, and I think I was about 10 or 11 at the time trying to get in the cinema.
Yeah, that movie's still great, I think.
What was the other animated one we watched? Was Bella? Bell?
Oh, yeah. That one was good.
So you were born in 1971?
Just a couple of years before that.
You're just calling everybody out here, Joe.
Yeah, I must have been 12 then in 81. I was trying to get in the cinema. I was like 2 years younger, and we had to get one of my friends' dads to phone up saying that he was my dad to verify my age or something like that.
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah, but we said that my dad was phoning up, and then he said, then my friend's dad said that he was my uncle, and they let me in it, but I was only about 4'10" at the time. There's no way I was 14. But I remember getting in, but I mean, my buddy was like 3 years older than me, but he was like 6 foot at the time anyway, so made me look very, very underage.
This movie is on Tubi.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to tape my jellyfin with it.
I actually watched Tubi the other day. I was watching Tubi the other day. I've not seen it been on it for years, and I went on it the other day and watched, what was that film? The Great Escape.
Oh, that's a great movie.
We're all big fans of Tubi here.
Especially Danny. Would you basically just watch YouTube and Tubi?
No. Sorry. Well, you know, that's probably not too far from the truth. I do watch a lot of movies on my Kodi, because I pay for that Reel to Bread service. But Yeah, a lot of stuff I watch is on YouTube, or I was trying to put the link into the show notes so you can see it, the Tubi link. A lot of stuff I watch is just being bored and going down the rabbit hole on YouTube or something like that, or Tubi, you know. Actually, one thing they took off of Amazon Prime, too. I watched stuff on there. It took In the Heat of the Night, you know, the show with Archie Bunker, who plays the cop. They took that off of Amazon. Now there's a new streaming service called MGM Plus.
Yes.
And you have to subscribe to that to watch In the Heat of the Night. And I was just getting into that show. Sucks.
Tubi does have a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
Plus a lot of MST3K, which is what I like.
It does. Show notes. This is 235.
Yep.
Trying to upgrade the Matrix here. The movie in here, too. There we go. Virtual combat. Sounds like a video game.
Actually, looking on Tubi, there is a lot of movies that starts with the word virtual. Virtual Vegas, Virtual Girl, Virtual Assassin, Virtual Deathmatch, which I added to the list, Virtual Reality. Oh, there's a bunch.
So our mission is to watch every single one of those movies.
I do want to add a couple more from this list that say virtual onto...
You should.
I have been. Virtual Dead. Lured into a virtual reality game by an evil computer programmer, a group of gamers find themselves trapped in a fight for survival with the undead. Yeah, this is going on the list.
Definitely. Ooh, this one looks good. Your virtual pet hamster. The happy hamster. There's some movies that have to do with... There's some called Virtuous... Not exactly virtual, but they look like Christian movies, I guess.
Christian movies?
All Superheroes Must Die. Huh.
Well, that's an interesting title.
I'm just reading the virtual combat brief of what it's about, and they've got the word virtual in every sentence.
Yeah, they're really pushing. You know, what year is this? The
96?
Yeah, so that was the big buzzword at the time. Virtual reality. That's how you get people to watch a movie.
I have one.
It's like saying a border cop must defeat the virtual reality warrior while learning to relate to one of the cyber sex babes.
What were you saying, Netminer? You have a movie?
I have a movie to add. I think it's called The Last Star Warrior.
The Last Star Warrior.
No, it's called The Last Starfighter, and we already watched
not.
It.
It is not called that. Stop lying.
Not that hot steaming pile of crap again.
That is one of the best movies ever made.
Don't listen to him, fat boy. He's a compulsive liar.
I mean, The Last Star Warrior is...
Okay, is it Dominion, The Last Star Warrior? That's what pops up when I search for it. From 2015.
Well, I don't know what year it was.
Go ahead.
It has your classic semi-burnt out veteran and who has got to save peace talks from being, you know. So that the peace talks are not blown up or something.
See if this sounds familiar. In 5 days, the world changed as a retired intelligence agent turned UFO investigator races to discover the fate of the human race. An alien observer searches for the human woman he loves. That was the synopsis.
Well, that's a different
one. Oh, it is? Last Star Warrior.
I don't know, but I think we should add Dominion to our list.
Yeah. It says Dominion, The Last Star Warrior. That's the only thing I can find for The Last Star Warrior. I'm going to put it on a list.
There's something called Star Warrior, The Legend of Acherus.
Huh.
From 2021. But that doesn't sound like it.
Well, always wanted to be a Star Warrior. Okay. Did we talk about the fate of Firefox?
No. Should we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is an article posted on the Lemmy, and I'll post it in the show notes here. It says, The Fall of Firefox. And I, to be honest, I can't dispute the article. It just seems so weird to say that because I use it constantly. So I guess I'm kind of blinded by my bias. Who here uses Firefox? I do.
Me.
Morency does. Lovecraft does. And like how many years do you think you've used Firefox?
Over 10.
Oh, definitely over 10.
Yeah, I've been looking to come off, go on to Firefox, but I've tried a few times. I've used it in the past a lot, but I should really go on to it full time.
Now, it says, as far as the history goes,
since it was Netscape.
Yeah, so I was about to say, the Netscape browser suite source code was open sourced in 1998. It was open sourced to save it, basically. And what grew out of that? Was Firefox in 2002, created by the Mozilla project. Their goal was to create the first universal internet client and then a pure web browser called Firefox. It says, first, Netscape loyalists and open source and Linux fans moved to it. Over time, it gained a mass following. By the summer of 2010, it reached its high point of 34.1% of the market share. Ever since, it's been downhill. So would you guys like to guess the current market share of Firefox now?
I would say 2%.
Very good. It's it says currently at 2.2%, which is crazy to me. It's hard to believe. But I guess, I don't know. Huh. I guess that's
how true. How many people left because of Snap?
I don't know.
It's a terrible experience after Snap.
Really? Yeah. So the Snap of Firefox is bad?
It is horrible. My Think Penguin laptop is unusable because of it.
Really?
Wow.
And the hundreds of tabs I have open.
Now, to be fair, they count mobile browsers as well in the survey. So Google Chrome has 47.9%. I think a lot of that has to do with Android, because Safari has 36.2%. And I know not everybody's got a Mac, so it's all on the iPhone.
I actually use Firefox, is it called Firefox Focus on the Android, just so you can search for stuff. And like, let's say you search for a printer or a scanner or anything what you want. You don't get like ads for the next 3 weeks of something that you've already just bought, you know, like that.
Now, I use Firefox on Android as well, but mainly because of the extensions. Because I use uBlock Origin to block ads and a few other extensions, the Wallabag extension and stuff like that. But I'll admit that on Android, it's not as fast as Google Chrome is, but I still rather use Firefox so I don't have to see ads and stuff.
Well, I actually use the Firefox Focus, which is it just wipes out all the history, so it's like a fresh install, that, you know, every time.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. I haven't used Firefox Focus.
I've used, on mobile, I'd use Firefox, the beta version. I'm not sure if it's just a continuous nightly build or what, but I think it runs fine. I mean, I've never noticed it. There's never been any noticeable difference, at least not in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I use uBlock on it as well. I mean, I'd rather open up tabs in the Firefox than I would in the Chrome. On most of my machines, I usually, on my laptops and stuff, I usually wind up using Chromium. But I don't. You're right when you say that. I think most people are just, it's so mobile focused right now that it's going to be either the default, which is Chrome, or Safari for anything Apple related. And then after that, I mean, there's not many. The biggest reason why people moved over to Firefox was because Internet Explorer was a hot piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. And then later on, Edge decided that they were going to build it off of off of Chrome instead of whatever that they were using before.
Yeah.
So now it's, I'm not sure if that means
Edge is still on. It mentions Edge being built on Chromium, Microsoft Edge.
I wonder if that means.
Yeah, but like back in the day, you couldn't. I remember going on, probably around the Netscape, probably maybe Firefox as well. Like you went onto your banking website and it wouldn't let you in unless you used Internet Explorer. So there's no technical reason why Firefox should be at 2%. Really, is there? I mean, it should be compatible with like every website, really.
Yeah, it is. I think the reason they give in this article is the rise of Chrome. It says they say that Chrome reinvented the browser. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was a big change. And I actually switched to Chrome for a little while from Firefox, and I was happy with how fast it was, but eventually it began to kind of slow down, not nearly as speedy as it used to be. And then I wasn't fond of Google. Now this is still in my Windows days, so I wasn't fond of Google having access to my searches and things like that. So I switched back to Firefox, and then on Linux I just carried over Firefox from Windows. So. But I don't know what the future holds for Firefox. I mean, the source is open, luckily, so.
But even a lot of the other browsers, what's the engine? You know, the web engine underneath, they all use the same as Chrome anyway.
The Chromium. Yeah, it says Opera, Vivaldi, and Brave all run on top of Chromium, as well as Microsoft Edge.
What is that WebKit?
I don't think so. I think Safari uses WebKit. I think it used to be WebKit. Okay. So
I think you've convinced me. I think for the next couple of weeks, I'm gonna swap over to Firefox and let you know how it goes.
What are you currently using?
Well, I'm on a Chromebook at the moment. No, I mean on the Linux machine that's just behind me there. That's probably Chrome. Oh, no, it's actually Chrome that's running on that. I've got Firefox. I do use Firefox now and then, but it's usually if I want to open a totally separate window, you know. I guess laziness. So I should really get back onto the Firefox.
I use Firefox on my Chromebook.
Yeah, I've got Firefox on this Chromebook, but I just click on the icon and use it. I've been meaning to think about getting back onto Firefox though.
Also, there's a new Chrome bin come out called Thorium.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before. Do you that's what you use, right?
I use on some machines, yes. Interestingly, MX Linux for the Pis uses Chromium. They support both Chromium and Firefox, but they recommend Chromium because it's a faster loading browser.
It's so weird. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, apparently the engines are WebKit, Blink, Gecko, and something called Ghana. So WebKit is used by Apple for Safari. Blink is what Google uses. Gecko is what Mozilla uses. And Ghana is actually it's the other offshoots of Firefox, the Pale Moon, Basilisk, and K-Melon use. There's other ones that are like maintained and discontinued. There's with Trident, Edge HTML, Flow, Servo,
NetSurf, and LibWeb.
Ice Weasel is a, what is it? Probably Gecko.
And then there's like a Watt or something too, isn't there?
Those are all offshoots of Waterfox. Those are all offshoots of Firefox, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
So they're probably using either Ghana, G-O-A, how would you say this? G-O-A-N-N-A, Ghana?
I guess so. I'm not familiar with that word.
Ghana, G-O-A-N-N-A. There's Gecko, which is just a straight-up Mozilla, Firefox, and Thunderbird. And like I said, Pale Moon, Basilisk, and K-Melon, M-E-L-E-O-N.
How's this spelled? G-O-N-N-A?
Yeah. G-O-A-N-N-A.
Oh, G-O-A.
Is Ice Weasel still a thing?
Probably.
Don't know.
Thought it got folded back into Firefox.
Now, this article links to another article that gives this writer's reason of why Firefox is in decline. You want to hear some of these reasons? The first one is tabs on top. As soon as this decision was made, Firefox started losing market share. Every other program on a PC uses tabs against the active window. Priority software like Microsoft Office and Adobe, Notepad++. Then Google decided to make the tabs on top a standard for its Chrome browser, which was designed for mobile devices, not desktops. On a smartphone, it makes sense as there isn't room for a full blah, blah, blah. But it says, when Firefox first did it, apparently people weren't ready for that. So when Chrome did it, it's okay. Constant removal of features that no one uses, in quotes. Every change made to Firefox had the same pattern. The default feature was changed, but there was a menu setting to revert it. Then the menu setting was removed, and you could only change it in the About config. And then the About config option was removed, and every protest from the user base met the same response. You're just a tiny minority, and most people like the change. It mentions third-party add-ons constantly being out of date because they don't keep up with the changes.
Yeah. Does that sort of, you're only a tiny minority and live with it, sound like a gnome response?
It sounds like what the answer is to a lot of stuff, especially things that have to do with Linux. Let's see. The next one, bad coding paradigms. Mozilla source code is a nightmare. Poor memory management. I don't know if that's still true. I think it's, at one time, I believe it was. But I would say Chrome is just as bad with memory management as Firefox is, if not worse.
Except if it's running under Snap.
Yeah. Invading your privacy at the same time as telling you we value your privacy. It says hidden telemetry that isn't disabled when you click disabled telemetry. First run pings, forced signing of add-ons, auto updates you can't switch off, pinging every 10 minutes. Anyway, I was surprised. I was just surprised to see that Firefox has fallen that far down to 2.2%.
That is
well.
Crazy.
I've just tried putting Firefox.
Oh, Fatboy, you have to mute your Jitsi. There you go.
Okay. So what I did, I installed Firefox on here. Shut down the Chrome browser and went back into Jitsi. And I didn't see any of your video on any of them. It just didn't work.
Jitsi doesn't work.
It doesn't work on Firefox.
I guess that's another mark against it. It used to, but it doesn't anymore. Firefox did something strange with their browser.
So, what are you guys using now?
I'm using Chromium.
All that talk about Firefox. Oh, Firefox
is fantastic.
It's
the only thing I use Chromium
for. I had to install Chrome to jump on the Jitsi because everybody's video was either non-existent or green.
On the new laptop.
And in the middle of installing, Firefox started working. Like while it was installing packages, and as soon as it finished installing, Firefox stopped working again. So it's clearly something that is fixable.
Yes.
They just don't care.
They don't care.
So open source Jitsi and Firefox, which is open source, don't work together.
Right. Firefox did something, and it changed something, and Jitsi is still trying to catch up to make it work, which was the same complaint that a lot of people had when it came to extensions. Firefox would always change something, but they wouldn't tell anybody. And so people that made Firefox extensions were constantly trying to catch up Firefox when they found out their stuff wasn't working. So,
when did it stop working on Firefox?
Oh, I guess about a year ago.
Was it that long?
Maybe not that long. at least 6 months ago, because I've had to use Chromium for a long time now, just to view the Jitsi. But I don't know what changed. But I guess I'll find out. They keep pushing releases of Jitsi quite a bit. So the next release, hopefully, I'll install that, and maybe it'll be different. Who knows?
Listen, people who use Jitsi are of such a small percentage.
Such Firefox, a small minority,
right?
Of people.
The small minority of people, yeah, that use Jitsi on Firefox, all right?
Yeah, that would be their excuse, I'm sure.
Considering that there's only like 1% of people that, you know, use Firefox, they're not wrong.
Well, that's true.
What is this, laughing? Joe opens up a door, says a little comment, and it shuts the door.
Is that what happened? Oh, there he is.
Evidently, yeah. This metal door allows the audio to come to me, but not for the microphone to go to you guys.
So, oh, okay. That's weird.
Yeah.
He just opens the door, says a joke, and then goes back inside.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, guys, but I'm falling over. Too many exciting nights with you guys, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one I want to get to real quick, just because it's kind of fun. It's you guys know LWN, the Linux news site?
I want to say yes.
Well, yes, I posted it in the show notes. It's there. Predictions for 2024 involving technology, Linux, everything like that. So some of the big ones: the kernel community will begin to move away from email. It says, as the core of its development process, progress will be slow and many kernel developers will prove strongly resistant to any alternative workflow, often for good reasons, but there will be at least a few developers who are able to get work reviewed, updated, and merged without having to touch a mail client. That's hard to believe.
Well, what are they going to use instead?
I don't know. You know, it'd have to be something that everybody has access to, and this, hopefully something decentralized, you know?
Oh, speaking of decentralized, Google Groups is making noises about dropping Usenet.
Why? What do they have to gain by that?
Well, evidently a lot of the Usenet channels that are on Google Groups are filled with spam from Google sites. So if they drop the Usenet feed, then Google Groups becomes just Google Groups instead of a Usenet portal. A Usenet portal filled with spam from the Google Groups hosting.
Hmm.
So you're going to have to think about going to Eternal September, or there are a couple of other providers, but and actually start going back to the old school Usenet clients and whatnot.
You want to hear another prediction? The enterprise distribution market will be shaken up in 2024. Last year, vendors working in the space all apparently came to the conclusion that there was little to be done other than offering clones of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, essentially ceding control over that part of the market to one company. As Red Hat makes it harder to compete in that space, though, both vendors and users will increasingly ask themselves why they are even bothering. Stable Linux does not need to be a copy of RHEL, and there are a number of interesting approaches that could draw parts of the market away from RHEL in the future, such as Rocky Linux. Well, no, they're saying does not need to be a copy of RHEL. What would be something like a popular
canonical
server? Like something Canonical puts out? Or what's the server OS that, why am I blanking on the name? It has the little lizard, the chameleon. What is that? OpenSUSE.
Yeah.
What's there? Is it just OpenSUSE? Is there server OS as well? I thought they had another name.
SUSE Linux, yeah.
SUSE Linux, okay. Maybe something like that. Oh, here's a very topical prediction. Firefox will reverse its longtime decrease in browser share. after just dogging it for the last 15 minutes. It says, after gaining a strong impetus from Google's plan to switch to Manifest version 3 in the Chrome browser, that transition will make ad blockers harder, if not impossible, to implement in Chrome. They are the only thing that makes the World Wide Web tolerable for many users. Switching browsers is not harder than installing the ad blocker in the first place. Many people will find the motivation to make that switch when the alternative is a constant stream of ads, trackers, and malware. Now, what percentage of browser users do you think use ad blockers? I'd say it's very small.
Probably. At least half.
Probably.
You think so, really? That many?
uBlock Origin is so easy to install.
Think about like my family, you know, my mom and aunts. They don't know anything about ad block. That's a lot of people that use the web.
I think we need to go back to the previous discussion where we're talking about most of people who are using their browsers are using them on mobile anyways. And the only way you're going to get any sort of ad blocker on mobile is if you install Firefox. That means you have to install one on your own, and then you have to go in and install a ad blocker on top of it. Or you do Pi-hole, but you have to be smart.
Yeah, I can see grandma
using Pi-hole.
Look at all the grandmas using that installed Pi-hole on the Raspberry 4s recently.
Today, 42.7% of internet users worldwide report using an ad blocker.
Really? That is much higher than I thought it would be. I was thinking 10, 12% at most. That's amazing.
Maybe even like the 20s range, but I wouldn't even go like 30.
That gives me hope in the human race, actually, that it's that high.
I've not used an ad blocker for a long, long time. I don't use one at the moment.
Really? I'm surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it was a few years ago that I had a Pi-hole running, but I found that at the time it was some of the apps that I was using, it was crippling that, and I put Pi-hole onto the old network, and I got a lot of abuse from the family saying half their stuff didn't work. So I took it off, and I just live with it at the moment.
That's exactly what I did. There was just one thing.
That's weird.
I don't know what happened.
You must have broken your phone.
It was like Rakuten or something like that that my wife uses that it blocked using that for some reason. And I had to just wind up because I don't remember what I was using it on, whether it was Diet Pie or something. You were supposed to be able to just go in there and like disable it temporarily or like disable it from certain things. I wasn't able to do that within that version of Pi-hole. So I just wound up just shutting it down. So, yeah, I mean, I the only place where I use it is I have uBlock Origin on my Firefox browser on my phone, and that's really about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was using the BBC News app, and I think it was crippling that. It's crippling a few things, so I might as well. I'm guessing set up on the Wi-Fi here is set up to, you know, another network, and then have that just for me with a Pi-hole running, and then everybody else can put up with the ads. At least if I know that it's not working, I know how to fix it. But I think the spouse approval won't pass there, you know.
Now I had trouble. I couldn't use the Amazon app anymore on my phone when I had Pi-hole running.
Mine works fine.
See, this is a long time ago, so it's probably changed now. But now, Amazon worked fine in the browser on my laptop, but on my phone, if I was using the app, I would go to a product and it would just have that little puppy dog and say something went wrong.
A lot of my family used to complain about, you know, a lot of their Android games because you have to be able to watch an ad in order to be able to continue playing or whatever, and that caused issues. But the first time I had Pi-hole set up, and then I brought it down. And then when I set it up the second time, it did not cause all those problems. So I don't know.
I'm thinking about setting it up again on one of those Radshaw Zeros, those little mini computers I got, and just trying
one
it
of the
out
ones you sent back?
No. These are the little single board computers.
Yeah, one of the ones you sent back?
No, that was not a single board computer. Those are real computers. the Radshaw Zero is
that's even worse.
Really small, and I can just put it, you know, anywhere really. And I have one more that I'm not doing anything with, and I wanted to try find a project for it. I think that's a good one. So that is the news from Lake Wobegon.
Did you ever listen to that?
What, the Garrison Keillor's radio show? Yeah, sure.
That was when I was younger. I actually liked them. Well, dry as
well, gentlemen, I kind of need to fold my tent. I'm just falling over.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Talk to you next time, Matt.
We'll catch you next show.
Yep. Good night. Talk to you later. Talk to you later.
Good night.
Have a good night, man.
Much love from Thailand.
Other than that...
Hey, don't rub it in. Well, actually, you should, especially with a pretty girl like that.
Is there anything else in this
list? I saw a news article and I can't find it again. There's some new streaming service coming out, a device that will stream all streaming services for one price.
Really?
Like $50 a month.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I know I'm getting Hulu for free.
Legally.
What, through Disney Plus?
No, I'm getting Hulu for free through T-Mobile at the end of this month for a year.
Hmm.
And then AT&T for does that with Max.
I just set up a Prime, Amazon Prime trial. I wanted a few things delivered for Christmas. So it said, you know, get a free Prime trial and you get the free delivery. So, okay. So then I got an email the other day about Amazon Prime, you know, the Amazon Video in Canada. I don't know what it's going to be like in the US, but they're starting to put ads into the Amazon Prime Video. Yeah. And if you don't want the ads, it's an extra, I think, $3 or something.
Yeah, I saw that in the news too. So do they currently have ads in it now, or are they going to? They're going to.
I believe they're going to.
Yeah.
Well, even the Hulu that I'm getting is going to be the $8 a month version, I think they said, and it will have ads. And then, like, I still get my Netflix through T-Mobile, and so it's discounted, but now the amount is going to be $8.50, but that will be that should remain the non-ad version.
They adding ads to Netflix? I haven't heard that one yet.
Netflix has different tiers, and their lower tiers now have ads.
Hmm.
For what, though?
I don't know. I don't have that tier.
Well, probably like the ads in Tubi, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, Tubi ads are just regular ads.
Yeah,
Tubi's free like anyway. So that's, I mean, if that's what it comes to, I mean, I'm going to do most of my watching on Tubi at that point, but...
Well, the whole thing, look, I still get it discounted because I get it through T-Mobile, and I'm still not having the ads. But Netflix is actually saying that their ad-supported tiers, which are lower costs to, you know, subscribers, is more popular, and they actually make more money with it than the higher-level tiers that don't have ads.
I'll tell you what annoys me no end is when you go on a flight, you know, you might be on whatever flight, transatlantic flight or anything, and you go and watch a video or a film, and it starts putting ads on, and you're sat there in the seat, and you've paid hundreds of dollars for the seat, and they put I mean, how much do you think the airlines get for the advert, you know, the ad on the movie on a plane?
Right. You're just kind of stuck.
Being cheap.
You know, I'd be happy to pay the extra $2 and not get an ad on. You know, last thing you want to do is watch an ad while you're on a plane trying to watch a movie, you know?
Right.
Well, I usually just download everything to my tablet beforehand and watch whatever's on my tablet. Yeah. How long is the flight to Thailand? Mortensen.
What?
How long is the flight to Thailand?
With layovers. Yeah, I think it was 37 hours. So 24 hours or more in the air.
Ouch.
Which route did it? Yeah. Where did he fly over? Where did he fly over? Where did he fly over?
So I went from
the Earth.
I went from Columbus to Miami to Qatar, Doha Airport in Qatar, and then Thailand. And last year, coming back, I went from Thailand to Narita in Japan, and then Dallas, and then Columbus.
Hey, when I went, we went from Houston to Taiwan, and Taiwan to Thailand, to Bangkok, and then the same way on the way back. Right. And it was only 19
Taiwan's
hours.
Taiwan's a big stopover port anymore.
Oh, I guess you're right. It's been a while.
How many hours?
19 hours in the air.
Okay, that's a little less fine. I think 24, 23 hours might have been the shortest one I could find that had almost no layover time from Columbus, Ohio. But a lot of the prices are better if you start from an international airport.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I flew to LA, if I flew to LA first and then had a ticket from LA to Thailand, it would have been almost half the price.
Right.
Wow.
But
wow.
How much would I have spent spending the night in Thailand and with two separate tickets, if there was any problem, the being bumped or something like that, I'd be screwed.
Oh, right. For sure.
So what did you download to watch for your drive, your flight?
Gosh, I don't remember. I downloaded stuff. Well, I've the two phones and the Fire tablet because I didn't get the Starlab tablet before I left. But I had stuff downloaded on Plex and Netflix on, I think, all three devices. And then just had stuff on an SD card also. A lot of it was left over from on the Fire, Kindle Fire was from last year's trip. I still had like 100 movies, TV shows, audiobooks. I had lots of audiobooks.
There you go.
I listened to like 3 or 4 audiobooks. One of them was, I think 2 of them were part of the Alien.
Okay.
Alien universe.
Okay. Yeah.
Hmm. I don't really see much else in the Lemmy. Anything else you guys want to?
What about your topic of discussion there?
Oh, that's take too long. It's already.
You think that's going to take long?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's going to take that long.
You don't think you want to try it? Okay. I put a discussion topic in the limit, in the Lemmy. Set called Separating the Contribution from the Contributor. Should a contributor's personal life / antics / views condemn their contribution? I put some examples such as RMS and the Free Software Foundation, Emacs, GCC, Hans Reiser and Reiser FS, Clem and Linux Mint. There's some controversy there with some of our fellow podcasting brothers, the ones that hate Joe. But anyway, do any of you think that what I guess it's the art and the, well, not hates you, but is always talking crap about Clem and Linux Mint.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You know, I
know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Because of his views.
And it's also talked about Mintcast because of it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You're part of Mintcast.
We're talking about Dore?
Yes.
Yeah.
When has he talked about Mintcast?
It was a couple of years ago.
All right. I know he was talking about Mint, but I didn't know he was ever...
He also, in conjunction with that, talked about Mintcast and how supporting Clem. And yeah. So it didn't bother me then, and it doesn't bother me now.
Right.
So I guess the question is kind of like the art and the artist question, which has always been raised, question for the ages. Can you separate the art from the artist?
You should.
So I think you should too. Some people do not share that view.
You have to, because it's kind of like. So I'm also, I like sports. You know what? But most professional athletes are fucking assholes. No matter what they try and promote themselves. Oh, I do all these charities. Yeah. Well, guess what? Most of them are actually still fucking assholes. But I still enjoy the sport. Same thing with most musicians. Most of them are fucking assholes. Why? Because they have a shit ton of, they're given a shit ton of money, and they have people throwing themselves at their feet, going, "We love you so much." Mm-hmm. Guess what? That starts going to your ego, and you start to become a fucking asshole.
Now, do you think
it happens?
Somebody like, well, now say this person is a member of a foundation that they created, but foundation doesn't agree with their views anymore.
Well, then the foundation needs to figure it out. That's the foundation's. That's to do with the foundation. I mean, like you're talking about what's the name?
RMS and the FSF.
Yeah, the FSF needs to go their own way and figure something out from RMS. I mean, that's if they're not agreeing with RMS, then RMS does not need to be their spokesperson anymore, and they need to find a way to separate themselves from RMS. form their own little thing that's basically the same idea, or, you know, RMS they need to figure out a way to get rid of RMS. You got to go either way. It's whoever has the initial rights to that group. If you don't agree with them, then you need to move him away, or you need to move away from him.
Now, what about using a product that was created by someone that you don't agree with?
I go back to my previous statement that the product isn't the person.
What if it financially supports that
most
person?
Actors, musicians, athletes are all fucking assholes, and either you distance yourself from all of them because they are what they are, or you just enjoy them for what they've done and not for them as people.
Now, what if it financially supports that person?
It's the same thing. It's the same.
It doesn't bother you.
You have to figure that out. Most of these people are horrible people, but more than likely they are horrible people. And it's, you have to either accept the fact that they are horrible people or just not listen to their stuff.
Now, I that's where I draw the line, or try to draw the line. If whatever I'm using, you know, coding with, consuming, if the creator or there's a benefactor connected with that gains financially by me using it or buying it, and that benefactor is like a total piece of shit, I would like to think that I would say, no, I don't want to use this
Do you product. Like Bezos?
No, I don't like Bezos. And I
do
try
you
to
use
say
Amazon?
I do, but not as much as I used to. I try to find the manufacturer website or a second hand seller or something like that, and because of that exact thing. Now, another thing I've stepped away from is AliExpress, and I try not to use as many like weird Chinese electronics as I used to as well. And that's not necessarily the art and artist question, but that was from an article I read about the U.S. import laws. I don't know if y'all have seen that. Let's see. I'll post a link to it. And I was surprised how many products, or it's a list of goods produced by child labor or forced labor. And a lot of this is things that are produced by the Uyghur population in China, and that was at Xinjiang province, that are forced into quote-unquote re-education camps, but are actually like picking cotton and things like that. So some of the products, list of goods, textiles, and this is hard to get away from because you don't know, where all these companies source their material from and stuff like that. It says the majority of textiles make use of adult ethnic minority groups in China using forced or exploitative labor. Photovoltaic ingots, which are used to make solar products, thread and yarn. What else is on here? Toys. Fish, tomato products, bricks, solar cells, gloves, polysilicon, and electronics. I mean, how can you guarantee that what you're buying is not from the little baby Uyghur hands that are on the other side of the planet being whip-cracked into making your stuff, you know? I think it's really hard, and so I've been thinking about that.
I think most things that you buy these days, like cheap T-shirts, whatever, anything from cheap T-shirts to cheap electronics, there's child labor in all of it, I guess.
Probably so. And even, I was thinking about this too, because this article made the point that even if you say you buy a shirt that's made in the USA or made in a different country, made in Canada or whatever, there's no guarantee that the material that was used to make that shirt didn't come from somewhere else. And they don't have to list, you know, where they source the actual cotton and stuff like that. So it starts to break down into these components that are almost impossible to trace, you know, where they come from.
Well, you see the price of T-shirts and clothes and stuff like that in Walmart. I don't think there's any other way of making it.
No, not at those prices. They have a name for that now. They call it fast fashion, which is just like cheap.
Well, when I was making T-shirts, I could get Well, before there was a cotton, they outsourced, they sent all the cotton production to China, and then there was a mold and a beetle that attacked all the GMO cotton, and prices skyrocketed right in the middle of me making t-shirts. But really? Prior to that, I could buy, as long as I bought enough shirts, I could get a t-shirt for under a dollar, and I could print one for under a dollar. So if I sold them for $5, I was making money. Now I don't think I could buy everything for $5 to make a shirt. But depending on the location, I mean, over here in Thailand, they make shirts, and I don't know how much of the cotton, I assume all the cotton is coming from China now, but they're just regular stores with shirts in them that are, you know, a buck or two.
It says about 20% of the entire world's cotton comes from China. 84% of that comes from the Xinjiang province where the Uyghurs are at.
So how
I would have thought it'd be more.
I would have too. What's that?
How would you determine where this stuff is coming from and who not to?
Well, see, we were just talking about that when you left the room to ignore us.
I know, I'm listening. I still got the headphones on.
I think once you go back to the source materials, it's next to impossible. There's some companies that there's ratings you can get for companies. One of the places I bought t-shirts from was Teltech. They make like the American Apparel style shirts. Mm-hmm. Blank shirts, but you can get them for, you know, less than $2 a piece for the shirts, and they follow this industry standard that rates the entire company for their efficacy, ethical manufacturing. But I don't know how deep that goes, and if it goes all the way to the source of the cotton.
And how much can you trust that too? You know, it's like, I don't know.
You can't.
Well, so it's funded by the industry, but it's an independent standard. I think as much as you can trust a regulatory agency, the one for
money talks, clothing, shit walks. Money talks, shit walks.
Right, but the one for clothing manufacturing really looked like the organization that was set up in an honest and less political way. But then again, Who can you ever trust?
I work in fruits and vegetables, and most of the time, you know, they talk about organics, but I know people who sit there and they try to figure out who certified it or as organic because they don't trust some of the certification companies. Because
yeah, and they pushed, I don't know, about 15 years ago, they lobbyists pushed to have certain things rated as organic, which from the common consumer who's focused on organic is definitely not organic.
Right. Yeah, it's just, I think it, like, well, one example, iPhones, many of the components in iPhones are made in China, and they're assembled there as well. Or are they assembled at Foxconn in Taiwan? I think a lot of it comes from China. But Samsung's phones are designed in South Korea and then built in Vietnam. So and the parts are supposedly from there too, but who's to say that child labor in Vietnam is not just as bad as China? You know, if you're not actually seeing your stuff get made or put together, you can't really make that call.
And from what I hear, Samsung is 20% of South Korea's GDP, and they're like untouchable. The entire family.
They probably don't have to answer to anybody, and
it's not just phones. It's they provide electricity, vehicle, like everything. They provide everything in the country.
That's crazy, but it's believable.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any way that you can really, you know, nail down where something came from and be able to say, hey, unless there's like some big thing that said, hey, this is actually coming from here. Then you can make your, you know, rational decision. Do I want to still keep buying from these people or whatever? When it comes to individuals, like I said, I think a lot of them are, once they get a certain amount of money, I don't trust them anyways.
Well, I would say there's like a difference between being an asshole and then being somebody like truly evil, like a child molester or a rapist or something like that, you know? I understand athletes are assholes, you know, but I think it's a different thing than, say, you're into watching Harvey Weinstein movies or something, you know, or buying his collection. So that's the thing. Like, if I can get away with consuming or watching something that doesn't financially benefit a piece of shit, I think I will still consume it, but I won't feel like what I'm doing is the wrong thing, you know.
My feeling is there's a certain level of money that people get, and once they hit that point, they start to feel invincible or whatever, and then there's no end to what they could possibly think that they can do or get away with.
But you think so that automatically means that they do that stuff? There's a lot of them that
either do, did, or, you know, I don't necessarily trust any of them.
Well, on any scale, any level.
So Harvey Weinstein used his place to seduce women.
More than seduce them.
Seduce, rape.
Right.
So the high school football captain uses lots of alcohol to seduce and rape the head of the cheerleading. Is there a difference? Then he goes on and becomes gets millions of dollars being a football star. And well, he probably does similar things to other people who, when before, you know, he gets married at the time or whatever. Is there a difference?
I think yes. And the difference is you're saying one scenario is plausible, but not that it actually happened. And I think the difference between that and somebody being convicted of rape, and, you know, these rich people could do that stuff, but do they do that stuff? We don't know, you know? And I think it's okay to think they don't, you know, if you haven't seen, like, I'm not going to believe that. You know, who
I think it's naive that they don't.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that they don't commit crimes.
I think money, my feeling is money corrupts, and that it's almost naive to think that they didn't.
So you thought Mr. Rogers was actually a pedophile?
I don't think Mr. Rogers had a crap load of money.
No, he had quite a bit.
I don't think he had a crap load of money.
So if he did, then you would think that. He was a monster.
His show was on PBS.
Right. His show was on PBS, which was not a very well-funded show.
Now, what about Bernie Sanders?
I have no idea about Bernie Sanders at all. So I don't know what his situation is. Right?
The guy has never had an actual job, so something there is funny.
Right?
I don't know. I guess I'm a lot less cynical than you are about when it comes to this.
My feeling is money corrupts. Once you hit a certain level of money, there's always something fishy.
So even
somebody's doing something crooked somewhere.
So even if you know for sure, like, somebody is a piece of shit, you'll just support them anyway. Because
I'm not necessarily supporting them. I just know that that's just the situation we're in. Like, I won't purposely go, yay, I'm supporting this person, but it is what it is.
What does it is what it is mean? That you're still buying
it
your
means
stuff?
I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. I'm still going to enjoy the music. I'm still going to watch the athletes go out there and play their sports ball. I'm still going to watch the movies because the movies are entertaining, because it's entertaining. I can't, because of the fact of the amount of money that's involved with that situation and the fact of what money does, it is what it is.
But you would pay to do these activities, right? Or would you pirate them?
Depending on what my situation is at that moment.
It's not affected
if it's
by
available
who makes
to
it.
Pirate, because freaking Plex wants me to watch something on mobile, wants me to pay again now again. So I can't watch anything off of Plex through there.
Now, would you buy, like, a Ray Lewis jersey if you were a Baltimore fan back then?
If I was, maybe. I don't know. I wasn't a Baltimore fan back then, so the guy who murdered somebody at a party?
Yeah. You would just buy their jersey and wear it around? No big deal, because everybody's an asshole.
Was he proven guilty?
Yes.
Was he proven guilty?
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't proven guilty. He didn't see any jail. Ray Lewis never saw any jail time.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm 90% sure that Ray Lewis never saw any jail time.
I thought he did.
No.
Yeah, I'm wrong. Well, it says he pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice in connection with the stabbing deaths of two men in 2000.
Yeah.
He didn't see any jail time.
He probably just paid some people off. Well, money talks, shit walks.
So it would have been cool to wear his jersey then, because he didn't go to jail. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that. I think there's a line that you should draw, but I know not everybody thinks the way I do. So
I believe that there should be a line that you should draw, but if you start drawing that line, you're not going to be able to do anything.
Oh, I don't know about that. If the cases, I would say on more extreme cases, like, you know, where people were convicted of rape or murder, or, you know, and you know they're guilty.
Are you not going to watch anything that Harvey Weinstein ever made?
No, that's not
that the Weinsteins ever
point.
Made.
Of course, I'd watch it. I just wouldn't buy it. That's the whole point. I would not want to financially support them. That's the point I'm making.
If I can get away with not buying something, I'm going to do that. But you know, sometimes it is what it is. And usually, I might watch it on streaming. I'm not sure how much money they get from that.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about streaming.
I don't know what the percentage of profit people get from streaming stuff.
Yeah. That's changing. It used to be not much, but now it's changing. They're redoing contracts. That was part of what the whole strike was about.
Yeah.
Well, the actor strike too.
Yeah.
Is, you know, people weren't making money on streaming and everybody's watching things on streaming. So
right. Because everything's on streaming now.
It's
it used to be the biggest things you could do was go to the movie. It was movie theaters first, and then it was rentals, and then from rentals it went to, you know, streaming or TV or whatever. It would be like HBO and whatever after rentals would be the big pay subscription channels, HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, stuff like that. And then from there,
but, you know, that was like half of Scarlett Johansson's lawsuit.
Right, exactly. But yes, my stance has always been that most people, after they reach a certain amount, after their income gets to a certain point, there's a good chance that they are corrupt in one way or another. And if you decide to not get stuff from people who are corrupt, then there's a good chance you're not going to be able to do anything.
Now, say you won the lottery, $100 million. Would you be corrupt?
$100 million, I'm just going to basically buy off my house.
Oh, so you're different from everybody else in the world.
$100 million isn't what I'm talking about.
If he's not broke in 6 years, then yeah, he's probably doing something corrupt.
If I'm not broke, yeah, exactly.
Because 90% or the largest percentage of your high dollar amount winners of the lotto are broke in like 5 years.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But unless you're doing some fancy tax stuff and got your money invested in the same way all these other rich folk do.
Right. In my humble opinion, it is that once people hit a certain amount, they have a certain amount of money, they feel that they can get away with just about anything, and they do. Or they try to.
Well, what about Bill Cosby? He would have never done anything bad.
Yeah, Bill Cosby, the guy.
He's like everybody's dad, right?
Yeah.
It main came actor as a of the real Cosby surprise show. When that hit. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it couldn't have been true at all, right? Because, I mean, he was America's dad on the Cosby Show, you know?
He went to jail, like I've proven.
Well, I don't see.
Martha Stewart. Insider
training. He had like one show after another where he was basically the same character. Over and over again.
Well, he also liked to promote himself personally as a high moral person.
Right.
Like, you couldn't do an interview with him without like reading his one of his books. It was Family or something like about family.
Well, he loved
like
to
that.
Talk bad about black people too, which is weird.
Did he?
Yeah, he would have these speaking engagements, or he would do like the college graduation ceremonies, and you know. Well, you should look him up on YouTube. I'm not going to repeat what he says, but anyway.
He made Fat Albert.
Yeah.
He made Fat Albert. So what do you guys think Linux is going to do, or say what the main distros are going to do with the new PC keyboards that are coming out that will have a Windows Copilot key?
Probably nothing at first, and then turn it into a hotkey is what I would do.
It's Microsoft is planning for all OEM manufacturers, this includes laptop makers, desktop makers, to add a Windows Copilot key.
I thought you were going to talk about something interesting, like, you know, what do you think the state of Wayland is going to be by the end of the year?
I thought you said something interesting.
Oh, it is interesting at this point. Think of all the distros that are making the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
So, has anybody used Wayland?
Ah, yeah. But it doesn't mean I liked it.
I'm using it.
Has you noticed a difference at all?
The door is Wayland.
Have you noticed a difference at all?
No, it's fine.
It just shows up on the screen and works, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you tried any remote applications?
Yeah. You mean remoting like SSH?
Into your Wayland session. No, no, no. Graphically remoting into your...
No. I have Debian on this laptop, and that one's running Fedora, so that has Wayland. But I've never had a reason to SSH into my laptop. Or is SSH out?
Or SCP stuff in. But SSH is going to work fine. I'm talking graphical.
Right.
Desktop sharing, anything like that.
No, I don't do that.
You're saying that they think there's going to be an issue between going from X11 to Wayland? And a graphical
just the issues
sharing?
that there's always
mean like using
been.
VNC Wayland, or something.
Yeah, VNC or something.
Wayland to Wayland on VNC.
As far as I know, that still doesn't work. If they got it working, that would be great. But at last I knew, the screen sharing of any type, desktop sharing of any type, wasn't working on Wayland. It doesn't mean it's not now, but that was one of the major issues that I've always had with switching to Wayland.
Is it something to do with security?
The reason they're switching to Wayland is due to security, because X11 is so old and has so much spaghetti code in it.
No, isn't that where a lot of the remote applications won't work, because it can't...
Maybe.
It's containerized so much.
I'm not sure.
It says, for Wayland, all screen sharing is done through Pipewire. I wonder if that's why there is an issue going from X11 to Wayland.
I'll have to check and see if remote desktop stuff is working with Wayland yet. Now, I know Mint is working on X-Wayland so that they can eventually switch to Wayland and still allow for compatibility with X applications.
Hmm.
But they're not planning on switching for another 2 years. So what was your crappy topic again?
That Microsoft is...
A key on a keyboard.
All keyboards will now have a Copilot key.
What's a Copilot key?
That's Microsoft's AI.
Oh.
It will be required in all new PC keyboards.
So you would hit the key and then what?
This is the first new key since 1994.
Again, you'd hit Copilot would come up and then...
Yeah, Copilot Assistant, AI Assistant would come up.
They sucked at Cortana. Why do they think that Copilot's going to be any better?
I guess because they didn't create it. It's OpenAI's ChatGPT. Don't they have like a 49% share in OpenAI, I think?
I don't know.
I think so.
I've played very little with ChatGPT. I've used like 3 different models and with mixed results. ChatGPT does not, I don't find as interesting as, what's it called again?
Stable Diffusion.
Stable Diffusion is far superior just for entertainment value.
Well, DALL-E is ChatGPT. It's their image platform, DALL-E 3.
Mm.
That's what I was posting those pictures. So it said, going forward, all Windows 11 keyboards will require the Windows Copilot key. So I wonder how this is going to be used by the big distros like Fedora and Ubuntu and people like that, what they're going to use the Copilot key for. Or maybe if it'll just be...
Maybe just be a dead key?
It could be that you can just assign it as a meta key or something.
First it'd probably be a dead key. I'm sure someone will find a use for it eventually.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right.
Getting late for you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Gotta go get your 6 hours of sleep?
Six?
Crazy talk. Oh, yeah, you gotta go to work at like 4.
Yeah. Well, I gotta get up at probably about 5. So,
we got 4 hours 10. Of sleep. 9 or 10, something like that.
It's Saturday. I'll get up when I feel like it.
So, I guess it's after midnight for some of you guys, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
almost, midnight for me.
What time is it for you, Fat Boy?
Yeah, it's coming up for 11 p.m.
Okay. What about you, Mortensy?
It's almost 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
All right.
Do you want to shut her down?
Sure.
All right.
Go ahead. I'll just kind of layer it in the background.
Don't just do that, and then I'll do my thing at the end.
No, it's fine. We don't have to play it. No, I'm not going
do
to.
Do it.
I'll add it in post.
You'll add it in post. Oh, my. All right. Where are we?
All right. Our recording. Our next recording date will be January. Nope, that's not January 5th. That's today. It will be January. What is the next recording date? 19th. 19th, 2024. Our music is Downright, provided by Klaatu and Brome. Finally, we'd like to give a special thanks to Delwyn, Father Finch, Weeb, Dave Morris, and Tony Bemis for all their help and support over the years. I've been your host this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight has been Fat Boy.
Yeah, good night to everyone.
Joe.
Good night.
Lovecraft.
Good night, everybody.
Lugbot.
You don't want to hear another joke from Lugbot?
Probably not.
No. Okay. Say goodnight, Lugbot.
Good night.
Minix.
That's me. Y'all have a great weekend.
And Morten C.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Exactly what it is, because the cable that I mess with to get rid of it, there's no goddamn way it's actually causing the problem of it not being able to start, because it's connected to a speaker. It's not shorted. I guess that cable could be shorted, but that still shouldn't cause a problem. Okay, so those four can go back on.
La, 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 la.
I'm not going to jump on the Jitsi until I'm done with this. Just so you know.
Yeah, I'm going to go mute for a little bit so I can eat my quesadilla. I made quesadilla.
Oh, what'd you use?
I've tried the a new kind of keto tortilla.
Which one? Because I always get the low-carb.
Yeah, I got the low-carb mission before, but that was... Oh, it wasn't good. It tastes like a paper plate.
So which one are you getting now?
So this one is a...
just ordered some of the mission too, you bastard.
Whole Foods, whatever their... It was the only one they had. I'm not sure what the brand is, but it's some granola brand, like organic, blah, blah. But I got it at Whole Foods. So if you go to Whole Foods, it's the only one they have. They're low carb tortilla. So I'm going to try it. Give it a try. Hope it's got to be better than the Mission.
Well, what'd you do for the innards on that?
So I had some chicken thigh that I had cooked previously and had for dinner. And so I tore that up and I put some, I have this rustic cut Mexican cheese, shredded cheese, and grilled some onion, and I think that's it. Just the onion, cheese, chicken. Yeah.
No salsa.
I got some salsa. I didn't make the salsa, though. I have some salsa and some a little bit of sour cream, too. So.
Well, what I do instead of the sour cream and, I use fat-free cheese, first of all, which is lacking a little bit of flavor. So then I also use some pico de gallo to bump the flavor back up. And also, instead of sour cream, I use fat-free yogurt, which tastes a lot like sour cream and makes the cheese melt a little bit better. And then I'll use usually either chicken breast or maybe ham.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ham. On how I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, most people don't think to do that because it's, well, ham. And ham doesn't really belong in a quesadilla, but it works out well.
So I like yogurt, plain yogurt. I like make dips and stuff out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like substitute that for sour cream. It's actually really good.
Yeah, especially, well, I use the very low-fat Greek yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the lower calorie count. But, yeah, it comes out good, I think.
I think it's good. It's tangy, and it has more protein than sour cream.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, here, go ahead. I'm going to be chewing.
And then, you know, a little bit of spray on the outside, put it on the pan, flip it, put a lid on it. That way all the cheese melts, and you're good to go. All right, now I have to reattach this NFC. Okay, power goes to the outside on that, because I know that's got the volts going to it. I'm going to have to tend those first.
What have you been watching there, Joe?
What have I been watching?
What have you been watching?
Oh, I don't know. When's the last time we had a show?
A while ago. Before Christmas, obviously.
I watched, I think I talked about last time, the two November specials. So, yeah, we definitely went over that. The Doctor Who specials. I have not watched the Christmas special yet. I haven't looked to see if there's a Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas special. There probably was, or a New Year's special. Well, I'm behind on that. We started rewatching Wednesday, which is good. I redid my, I caught up on Rick and Morty. I know that. But I redid my server. I reformatted my server, and so my Plex is not really tracking what I watched in the last couple of weeks. So,
have you watched the Retreat?
No. Yes, I watched the first couple of episodes. I think three or four episodes, but I know that at least one more has come out since I watched. Maybe two.
I think just one. I would say it's the other five or six. You're right.
Yeah, so I think I was up to four. So they're either on five or six.
I think they're doing a really good job of keeping with the story.
With the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of did last time, too. I mean, they followed it except for adding the one character, but that character is important to this season, so...
Right.
And it's not like they're going in order of the books or anything.
Right. I like how they threw a mention to... one of the other books and the Reacher movie that had Tom Cruise in it.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was, I forget which book it was based on, like book 9 or something like that, with the sniper.
Yeah.
They mentioned in one of the earlier episodes, they were like, was that guy? He's like, nope, he's already been taken care of.
Nope, I talked to him not too long ago.
Right, yeah, right.
I didn't put it together that there was a reference to the Tom Cruise movie, but I did put it together that it was a reference to one of the books.
Yep. Like, with the first episode that made a Terminator reference to Robert Patrick?
Maybe. But they keep trying to bring back people from the first season.
Well, they brought back, was it Finley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for a minute, though.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but everybody was thinking that they were going to try and bring back that female cop.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's not how Reacher does things.
Right. Love him and leave him. So, Danny, have you looked at any of the video from the New Year's show? Is it basically just me? And when I'm not there, I put up the Lugcast homepage.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I gave up on it. It just kept cutting off because I guess if there's no motion, it will stop recording. Yeah, it's weird. And then I was thinking, well, maybe I could hook up a camera to, who was that saying? Was that Rich that was saying, if I have one of those birds that drinks the water, you know?
Oh.
So you have something moving?
Yeah, I think so.
And but I didn't really have anything that moves, so I thought about putting a camera in front of my fish tank. And then I was like, well, I don't have anything to hook it up to. So I try to get that little atomic pie running, and I don't know. I just gave up on it. I
said, and if you had all those computers that you get sent back.
Well, that's the thing. I had that atomic pie, and it uses... I know what happened. So the only images that work, because it has a camera module for the atomic pie, the only images that work for the Atomic Pi that includes the camera module are from Atomic Pi themselves, you know. I guess they've got it patched in there somehow. So I was downloading that image, and then it says that because before I was able to just load it to the it's got an onboard eMMC, I think 16 gigabytes that you can load the OS to from the installer, but then I fire it up and it's not an installer, it's an actual just an OS. So I would have had to run it from the USB key, from the flash drive that I had plugged into the USB port, and so I tried that, but it was so slow. I guess it was a slow flash drive I had that it just wasn't cooperating. So. Or if I want to use the camera on that thing, I'll have to find a way to plug the device in as a USB gadget, kind of like how the Radshaw Zeros work, where you plug the device into your USB port via a cable, and it sees the eMMC as like a, they call it a USB gadget. But then you can load the OS to the eMMC that way, because it won't load from like an SD card or you can't install it from the USB from a flash drive. At least not the Atomic Pi image. Now I used to have Ubuntu on there a long time, but Ubuntu had an actual installer on it. This did not, and so I would have had to create a partition on there somehow, and then move everything over to root and. It would just been a fucking hassle, and it was already New Year's Eve, and I was trying to get ready for a party and stuff like that that I was throwing in here. So I said, "Fuck it."
But that is you were throwing a New Year's party.
We had a party at my place.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You and your girlfriend?
No, it was me, Buster, a couple of friends from the workshop, my hackerspace. And then a couple of my just regular friends, and we all had kind of like a game night, played different board games and stuff, and played cards and dominoes. And
I love how close I live and the fact that I wasn't invited.
Listen, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you got a whole family and stuff. See, these are all family-less people.
Are you trying to say you were throwing a swingers party?
Well, you know... It happened to me that one of the people from my workshop found out about it afterwards and asked how come I didn't invite them. And I said the same thing. I said, well, I figured you'd probably want to be hanging out with your family and stuff, you know. Because these people, they didn't have husbands or wives or kids or anything. So it was fun. I was drinking vanilla-flavored Crown Royal with the Coca-Cola. So it was like a vanilla Cokes.
Nice.
Actually really good. And everybody brought food. And I made like a 7-layer dip and had a bunch of chips and snacks. And there was meatballs. And black eyed peas, of course, and cornbread and stuff like that. It was good. And I felt fine. I felt pretty good the next day. I didn't get wasted or anything.
Nice.
So that was my New Year's. What about you guys? Well, no, yours, Joe. That sucks.
Mine was uneventful. Like I was telling Lovecraft earlier, I took down Christmas here, popped in onto the New Year's show every once in a while, but I had inventory on New Year's Day, so.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you mentioned that.
And I was told, like, normally I like to go down, like, right around midnight, and then I'd be on there until, like, 3 a.m., but that doesn't work if I'm getting up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I popped in a couple of times, and mainly trying to get the Jitsi to stay on, and never did. But I heard, like, Ken and Scotty and a few voices I didn't really recognize. Mainly from, like, Europe and stuff. And one guy was from Hong Kong. But, yeah, I heard Netminer on there. He was on there a lot. And there was one guy that was on there that, he was interesting, but I don't think he really understood the format, that people would be kind of popping in and out. Because seemed like he was a little frustrated because people weren't responding.
Is that Sebastian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sebastian is he's been on just about. I think he was on every single one of the New Year's shows. He doesn't necessarily he doesn't record anything for HPR and talk about. He doesn't listen to HPR as much. I'm not sure if it's as much as he used to or whatever. But he's on every New Year's show, and he spends a good amount of time on there. So if we need somebody to fill up a lot of the hours, he's usually pretty good. But Sebastian just likes to talk. And yeah. He will go on and on and on. There was one point where there was, like, I knew he was there, and I knew that, like, nobody was talking whatsoever, so I figured I would just kind of poke him a little bit and just let him go. And, yeah, he did.
Well, that's good. At least you got somebody like that. Is he the guy that
brought his sister on, like, last year or the year before?
I know. He was the one who was talking with them, I think. Because the one who brought his sister was Ken's kids, wasn't it?
I don't know. Is he from, like, Belgium or something? Or
Belgium, I think that's Ken's kids.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe that might be who he's talking with then.
Yeah. Because was last year, Sebastian and him were talking, and Ken's son were talking a lot about Belgium. Yeah, they talked about Belgium for a while. They talked about...
I do remember that.
Minecraft and...
role-playing games, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, D&D.
Yeah. Yeah, Sebastian just likes to talk. And he feels like every time somebody says something, that it's almost like everything that was said is basically directed at him, so he has to respond to it.
And he doesn't stop.
He does not stop. He does not stop. He's not like a bad guy in this year.
It wasn't bad.
But... He's not a bad guy. He just it's weird. You're right. He doesn't see it. I don't think he understands the format, that not every single question is directed at him. And this year he almost seemed to take offense to the fact that nobody was responding right away, which I thought was weird.
Yeah. See, I thought he was new. I didn't know he'd been on before.
So. Oh, every single one he's on. Every single one.
You think he would know. But you do need a talker on there, or else there will be a lot of dead air. You know?
And that's what he is.
Yeah. Well, he mentioned something about having a disability, like OCD or something, and you know, that probably plays into it.
And just because from listening to him in the past, he's talked before about how he's part of a speaking club or something like that, where you're speaking in front of audiences and stuff, and that's one of the things that just kind of poked that one a little bit and just let him run with that for a while. And then when that started to die off a little bit, I'm like, oh, I remember he likes all of those. He has bought pretty much every single Linux phone or tablet type of a thing. He has a collection of these things. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I just kind of poked that a little bit and he just went off for a while.
Well, that'll make it easy. if Lovecraft is going to do the show notes, kind of lots of Sebastian related stuff on there.
Yeah, I think he was into the. Wasn't he talking last year about like handheld PCs too, or something? I kind of remember something like that. He was talking about he got one on a Kickstarter, and then he was looking forward to getting another one. And yeah,
never trust a Kickstarter. Oh wait,
yeah,
bastards.
The only thing I ever bought on Kickstarter was that little Windows gaming PC, the handheld one. I actually got it. Yeah, it was late. I don't think it was exactly on time, but they get it.
Well, GPD has put out a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. But GPD, if they have a Kickstarter, I'll trust that.
Right. But was that like the early days of GPD before they were like a little more solid, or at least as solid as they are now?
Even after they were established, they were still doing Kickstarters for their new devices. I don't know if they're doing it now, but they kept doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I meant like when he bought his, was it like the early days of GPD?
Oh, I think so. I think it was at some point in the past he was talking about it, and yeah, I mean it's last year now, but I kind of remember it being something in the past.
Who are you talking about, me or Sebastian?
Sebastian, oh. He was talking about. We were asking you.
So when I bought it, was that early GPD, or had they already been making stuff?
That was the question I had for you.
I don't know. That was the first time I heard of them. So I was kind of taking a chance, you know. But I also didn't know that so many people get ripped off on Kickstarter either. That was the only thing I ever bought from them.
Wasn't Mortensen talking about the...
The phone.
The phones that he hasn't been able to get.
Yeah, and you had the Bluetooth thing speaker.
Yeah, that giant Bluetooth speaker that I had ordered for Jackie because she said she wanted it, and then we never got it.
Did you ever get a refund or anything?
No, those guys quit responding years ago. Like, nobody got their refunds. And product, because some people did get the product. They said it was garbage.
That's also where they advertise that CPAP thing that just goes in your nose.
Mm-hmm. And you see those on Amazon sometimes still, and not going to trust that.
Nope.
I don't think it's a good idea to buy a medical device off of Kickstarter.
On Kickstarter?
No.
Yeah, because, you know, that's FDA approved.
Right.
Like, would you buy, like, a insulin pump or something off of there?
Oof.
Imagine that.
Well, I know a lot of people back in the day, and I know that there's probably still some now, that when it comes to insulin pumps, they would do open source insulin pumps. And yes, they were taking a hell of a chance doing it. But a lot of your automated insulin pumps had been taken off the market because essentially you weren't spending as much money on insulin because it was regulated by testing your blood before it pumped insulin in.
But that would make me nervous, having
open source.
Well, not even just open source, but just an insulin pump that's like USB or... See, the monitoring ones I think are fine. I think that idea is cool because that's just right there on your arm and you can just kind of scan real quick as opposed to jabbing yourself constantly. But to have something that'll pump the insulin into you, I mean...
Yeah, well, that's what they were doing back in the day, like I said, to save money on insulin. And also, you know, it takes a lot of the burden off of you to do constant testing.
Right.
But well, yeah, I see your point.
Jabbing yourself.
Yeah, I see your point though on trusting something like that, and I can understand that. But you know, with the price of insulin, it's also kind of understandable. Mm-hmm. And if you have someone that is a bit of a flake, then it's better to have it automated.
Yeah, it definitely makes me nervous though to have something like that.
got a Linux roundtable discussion set up for Ludcast roundtable discussion. In the Lemmy.
On the Lemmy. You're going to bring it here or
just
let it ride in Lemmy and hope for the best?
I think it would be a good segment for the show.
I've not seen anything interesting, any interesting articles in a while. I haven't checked Lemmy in a while either.
Did Mortensen make it on?
Not yet. I haven't seen him.
All right, because we still got to discuss the server he has set up. Are you guys already on there?
I'm on there, and I installed Podman, but I haven't done anything with it. I haven't installed any actual containers.
Let that charge for a while, because I doubt it's going to work, but okay.
I think your recent post from about 9 hours ago is a little more topical. It's probably going to bring a little more discussion than your roundtable will.
What? Which one is that?
Ball of Firefox. Mozilla's one's popular web browser slides into their relevance.
We can do that one, too.
I think that would be a little more of a discussion.
I saw that today. I was like, huh, that's sad.
So do you have the Jitsi set up?
Yeah, we're on there.
Hmm. / Ludcast?
Yeah. Same thing it's always been.
Yeah, Jitsi. Well, I reformatted.
/ Ludcast.
I reformatted.
Oh, everything? That's right. You did.
Oh, that's... You use your desktop as your server.
Which show number are we at?
235.
That's right. I haven't looked at the... Has anybody shut up? Set up show
notes? Send me the link for the show notes.
You're not muted. Why are you not muted?
Because I reformatted.
No, on Jitsi.
No, I'm muted on Jitsi.
Did you watch a movie, Joe?
Yeah, I watched the movie. I just don't remember much of it.
Really?
Because it was boring.
Boring.
It wasn't boring.
I'm gonna save it for the show. All I can say is that whoever the director was hated cars.
Oh man, there were so many car wrecks, car chases,
cars
banging in car explosions. It was great. I'll save it for the show.
Save it for the show. All right.
I got the show notes up.
Have you watched anything interesting while we're here?
I have watched the Curious Tale. I think or it was called that's the Curious Tale or something of Natalia Grace on HBO. It's a docuseries about, y'all remember the story of the family that adopted the Ukrainian baby, and they said it was actually an adult dwarf, and that it was she was trying to kill the family and stuff, and so they were suing the adoption agency and all this other drama and stuff. And anyway, it was interesting. You actually hear the adopted baby talk too. Her adoption paper said she was 6 years old, and they claimed that she was 20 years old, but she had some kind of deformities and dwarfism and stuff like that. And so her side of the story is that she really was just a toddler, a kid, a little kid, but her condition her medical issues were so expensive that the family didn't want to pay for them, so they dropped her off at an apartment in I think Louisiana somewhere and just left her there, and they had a judge change her age from 6 to 20, legally change her age, which how can you even do that? I didn't even know you could do that. It's not like a name change or anything. And, so that was there. So it kind of like went back and forth. I don't believe the parents. I mean, it sounds like they were kind of bad people and they got in over their heads with the medical bills and stuff and couldn't afford it. And so they made up a story, and I don't know. It's weird, but I watched some Doom Patrol was pretty good. I watched the movie Cyber Tracker 2. I watched I didn't watch too many show or too many movies, really. I was really watching like documentaries and stuff on. Oh, I watched all of the new, or I guess not new anymore, the Rick and Morty, the last season, which I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but that show is not really funny, but it is kind of interesting. There's a lot of shit going on and all kinds of kind of like clever things and stuff. But it doesn't make me like laugh. Like it's
there's
not
a
like...
lot of very serious subtext to that TV show.
Yeah,
and so
some
yeah,
cool,
it has
like,
the
sci-fi ideas and stuff.
It has the puerility for you know the people that don't really think about the whole subtext thing a whole lot, and then it's got that deeper meanings going on when it comes to like alcoholism, long-term pain, various things like that, and then. So also,
but have you ever laughed watching that show?
I sometimes think it's funny when people get blown up. So yeah, I have.
I don't think I've laughed once, but I like to watch it just because I think it's interesting. I just don't think it's funny.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that comedian that was on as did the news on SNL that talked all. You know, had like very long, intense jokes, but they just weren't funny. It was just him rattling off complicated.
Dennis Miller?
Yeah, Dennis Miller. It reminds me of him. Who, you know, he has these long, clever jokes, but because he doesn't really actually have anything funny to say, it's more like just saying these long, complicated jokes that aren't. There, I mean, you could see how it'd be humorous, but it doesn't make you laugh, you know. Now, I heard that he turned into like a dickwad later in life, but I remember on SNL, he was probably one of my least favorite that did the news.
I like Dennis Miller. Maybe
really?
I should go back and rewatch some of his stuff.
Yeah, see yeah. what you think.
I like
my,
Dennis
my
Miller.
My favorite on the news was, what's his face, that died last year?
Norm.
Yeah,
Norm
MacDonald. Yeah, I thought he was my favorite. Him and Kevin Nealon, they were both great on the news.
Didn't Chevy Chase do the news in the earlier ones?
Probably, yeah. I haven't watched SNL in a long time, so I don't know if it's funny or not.
There was a couple of them that were just like very, very, very dry.
I know that Trump was really bad for comedy because that's all everybody talked about and. Endless impressions, and he was just too easy of a target, you know. So I always thought that everybody that focused their comedy—I mean, politics in general is okay, I don't mind—but he is like already, you know, his life
clown.
And his his personality is very clownish. So it's
a
like
joke.
It's not really. It's too easy to make jokes about him. So it's. They're not that funny, you know, they don't surprise you and they don't have any subtlety or anything. So I always thought that he was a bad president for when it came to comedy, you know.
Well, I think impressions of him are absolutely horrible. I hated like most, basically all Trump impressions. They're all just bad.
Yeah.
But he is just about everything every word in every press conference he had some gleam of comedic gold on it.
Now, yes,
just
now, Trump
if you could take it
is funny. I think that
you,
may
well,
be.
Well,
Joe
you,
will probably
you
hate
you
me
to,
for saying that.
But
oh no,
you
no,
just
he's
have
funny.
To. I mean, you're talking about the guy who said that we are looking into possibilities of injecting people with bleach as a. This was in a press conference.
Yes.
The man is pure gold when it comes to the verbal diarrhea that comes spewing out of him. And you go, this guy's our fucking president, really?
Well,
and
the thing,
people
again.
Voted for him. They
the
said,
thing that,
yes,
that,
I
that's
want
funny,
him.
The thing about Trump that's funny to me is that he is a very old man, but he has this personality of like a 6 or 7 year old, you know. And so it's the contradiction of the way he looks versus what he says. Like, I loved watching the Republican debates with Trump in it because it was so funny because nobody could touch him because anything anybody said, he would just make up a name for them, whether it was, you know, Sleepy Joe or Little – what did he call that guy from Florida? Little – the governor of Florida, what's his name? Before DeSantis, it was Marco Rubio, Little Marco or – or you know, just these stupid names. And then if anybody would say anything bad about him, he would just go wrong. Like he didn't even try to debate or anything. Like you could just say wrong, and that was the, like, and they were all shocked. Like they didn't have anything to say because they haven't heard anybody be so childish like that. And it was awesome. It was so fucking stupid and funny that I loved watching it. But if you try to make jokes about somebody that's already like that, it just falls flat. You know, you don't really have anything to work with, I don't think.
Yeah, it's impossible to make any jokes because all you have to do is just repeat the shit that came out of his mouth.
Right. It's I think he is just a funny guy. I think he's funny. And if he gets...
Weren't there a couple of Kimmel segments where he was like saying, was this set on SNL or actually in a press conference?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't doubt it, you know. But if he gets, which he probably will, I warn my friends... Ugh. He will probably be elected again.
No, no, he's going up to the Supreme Court. If he's allowed on the freaking
ticket. If he's allowed
on
the ballot, I think he will be elected again. That is my prediction.
Isn't he kicked off like the Seattle ballot or something?
No,
take the headset.
No, he got kicked off in two states so far, I think.
Yeah, the Supreme Court today, late this evening, like 5 o'clock, announced that they were taking up the Colorado case.
Yeah, Colorado was one of the states.
Yeah, Colorado, Maine, Minnesota, Maryland's looking at it, Pennsylvania's
looking at it. He would have never won in those states anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter. You're not going to see him kicked off the ballot in Texas or anything.
No, that's right. And Texas is trying to kick off Biden off the ballot.
Of course.
That's Paxton, though.
But anyway, so I think, what my point was, though, that if he gets elected, at least we will have some comedy out of his presidency. We got to look at the bright side of things, right?
Being miserable. Yeah, if I wanted to look at the bright side of things, I'd watch Mighty Python. At least I'd get a good laugh out of it and not wonder about the horrors that would follow it.
But you can't do that, or you're going to make yourself miserable. I have so many friends that are very liberal, and they just make themselves crazy thinking about Trump. And I tell them, I said, you just can't focus on that stuff or think about that stuff because it's going
to
make you crazy.
I don't even have to worry about Trump. I just got to work with my own district. I'm in the reddest county in Texas.
So, but my point about Trump is that if you just worry and think about and get angry about it all the time, then, you know, that's probably what conservatives want, is for you to be freaked out and hate life. You know, they love that. Both sides hate it when the other side is miserable, you know.
I'm not spending my time worrying about what he's going to do. I've kind of, you look at it and go, yeah, that fucker's stupid.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm saying some of my friends that just go nuts and they metaphorically put their fingers in their ears and go la 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 when I tell them, hey, there's a big chance that he's going to get reelected. They don't want to hear it. They just, it's impossible, never. I said, man, you're letting your bias kind of cloud your judgment here because it could definitely happen, you know. Anyway, enough about that shit. I have to hear about that on the news all the time.
One of the things, the Supreme Court is also taking up the Fifth Circuit. Okay, so you guys heard about the woman that needed an emergency abortion in Texas.
Yeah.
And the Attorney General sent a letter to all the hospitals that they performed it, he would start charging them under the Texas law. The Fifth Circuit agreed with him that emergency abortion is not legal. And so now the Supreme Court also, when they gave their announcement, said they would be taking up that case.
All right. Enough politics. I want to bring everybody down. It's already depressing enough thinking about it.
Well, I know, but that was just the two things that were mentioned. That like they waited to the end of the day on a Friday to say this for a reason. The Supreme Court's pretty good about that. When they give an announcement, they wait till like 5 o'clock on a Friday.
So I did hear a good joke about the Supreme Court, though. When ever since Ginsburg had died, they've been pretty ruthless.
Was that the joke?
Yeah. You don't get it?
Oh, I get it, but you kind of look at it and go, yeah, they kind of have been.
It seems more like a fact that it doesn't joke.
It's a great joke.
Where's that punchline?
I thought it was funny.
Okay, Ruthless. Now yes. I got it. Damn.
Now you get it.
Well, I got the joke, and it's just like, that's not really that funny, because it's kind of the truth there, man.
It is funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, well, that's like Mortensen, back in the Thai life again.
Yeah.
I just remember every time I ever says a judge joke, it's like, what do you call a little judge, a Judge Ito? The only one I know. What do you call a little taco? You call it a taquito. What do you call a little judge? A judgito. That's the only judge joke I know, okay?
What were you going to say, Honky?
I don't know. What were we talking about before we went down the political rabbit hole?
That's what we were talking about. I was saying, let's get off this topic because it's depressing. Let's talk about something else. And then you jumped in and we're going to say something.
No, that was basically what I was going to jump in and say. What the hell were we talking about before we went down that rabbit hole? Things that you were watching. I think we were in that
ballpark there.
I did DC War World.
What was it?
Yeah, DC War World. It's setting up for Crisis on Two Earths. Or not Crisis on Two Earths, but Crisis.
Is it animated?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's like three little shorts, and you're like, where the hell is this going? And then like the last 15 minutes it brings together, and you're like, oh, okay, now I know where we are.
Sounds interesting.
Well, you do know about Mondo, and he has that the weapon planet that thrives off pain and hate and fear.
No, I don't know anything about comic books, to be honest.
Well, that's the whole thing, is they're locked. He captures Martian Manhunter, and he's helping create these psychic visions that Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman are all locked into. So that's the reason why you're like, you walk into each of the worlds that they're locked into, and you're like, what the hell is going on? And like, Wonder Woman's is like the Wild West, and Batman's is like the Savage Lands, and then Kent is like the black and white Ditka movie.
Huh, that's interesting. Oh, Clark Kent is separate from Superman?
Well, they don't know who they are.
Oh, okay.
They don't know that they're alternative identities.
I gotcha.
It's almost like a what if for DC?
Yeah, well, they're setting up for Crisis, where eventually they're supposed to move into it and Superman becomes evil.
Uh-huh.
So they capture. There's two crises. The first one, they were able to capture Superman at the end, but then in the second one, they started bringing in the Thundercats and He-Man to fight Superman.
Oh,
because they need magic is the only thing that can beat Superman.
Right.
I watched it. I just thought I was. I didn't have a clue what was going on, and then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, sat here for an hour and a half.
I don't know a lot about the DC Universe. Most of what I picked up was from watching the Arrow series. Arrow and Flash and the live-action DC shows. And then from what I've seen from Batman. I never really got into Superman all that much. And I don't know. When I was growing up, I was mostly did the Marvel Universe.
Well, most of the Arrow Universe based on Batman storylines.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, okay, but I grew up, my dad got off at 3:00 in the afternoon and would pick me up coming home. And on the WB was the Batman Superman hour. And that was our father daughter bonding time.
That was with the Batman animated series and
the Batman or Batman animated series and the Superman. And then it became Batman animated and the Justice League.
Okay.
So me and my dad would talk our way through, you know, how to build Batman's gadgets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and in fact, a couple of years ago, I gave him a book. It's called What Would Batman Do? And it shows you how to build all the gadgets.
Cool.
My dad's, he was an electrician, a supervisor of maintenance, so for the electrical plants in the area. So he knew a lot, but he didn't have a formal degree. So what he was doing is very similar to what electrical engineers do now. But he had gone It started as a journeyman electrician and moved his way up.
Testing.
Has anybody
yeah,
seen...
if you get to do DC, check out McGinnis. He's my favorite.
Okay.
He's the son of Batman, who takes on the Batman Beyond mantle.
Has anybody watched the new season of What If?
It's on the list.
I started the first episode. That's about as far as I got with it. Not that it's bad, it's just that I haven't had much of a chance to watch.
Well, Joe's been working on the man cave, so our ability to watch TV shows is cut down a lot. You know, oh, New Year.
What's he been doing?
Just cleaning, picking it up, reorganizing it. He got a new TV, so he's been having fun redoing his man cave. And
thumbs up for me.
Hey, I'll take the win. It's clean. It's cleaner than it was. He's giving me the handshake here.
What's the weather like down in Texas?
It was almost 60 today.
So cool.
I gotta say, it's a warm winter. Dallas can get colder than, like, North Texas gets colder. Like, the plains, like Oklahoma, Nebraska, that stuff hits Amarillo. And Dallas can get cold, but it's been warm. I've got green grass. I keep wondering if I need to go mow it. But it was, we got that storm that's now hitting, going through the southeast. We got that yesterday, but it kind of moved out pretty quick. I think it's hit the east coast, and they're supposed to get snow with it.
Supposed to. Looking into, what is it, Saturday night into Sunday, at least where I am on that, we're supposed to get snow overnight. And then Sunday, it's supposed to get kind of warm, at least where I'm at, to like the 40s, so it's going to get more sleetish, and then overnight it might get a little bit more snow. That might, or might get pounded with a little bit more snow than me. He's a little bit further north.
Said that the next storm will hit our area next weekend. I think Tuesday it's supposed to be like the high is like 43.
Ooh.
But it's all wet.
Right.
I need at least 3 days of freezing here, man. I need to kill some mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But, yeah, you guys are supposed to... And then they were saying on the weather that when you guys get the next front, that you guys are... A good chunk of the Northeast is going to be under flood watch.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the storm you guys are getting in the next couple of days, and then the next one is supposed to be really bad for weather.
I'm lucky where I'm at. I'm not in, like, a flood zone. There's a couple of streets around here that, you know, maybe after a good rain, you might want to avoid for a good couple hours afterwards. But I don't like it. Like, I know a lot of people who have to keep a lot of their stuff in their basement, like up on blocks or pallets and stuff like that. I don't have to worry about that. My basement doesn't flood at all.
Do you have a Pittsburgh toilet?
A Pittsburgh toilet?
Yeah, that's something that somebody was telling me that happens when you have... Okay, again, I've never had a basement.
Uh-huh.
But they have a toilet and a shower downstairs, and they call it a Pittsburgh toilet.
I do not. I have seen that, but I don't have one. The toilet in the basement's usually more than I've seen a shower in the basement.
Well, Pittsburgh's known for all that steel and mining and stuff, and they would go downstairs and try to do everything downstairs so they wouldn't bring it up, and that's what they were telling me. It's called a Pittsburgh toilet.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, there would be no... I can't imagine having a basement out here.
You don't have a basement at all?
No, it's very rare to see basements out here. Maybe in some of the historical districts, but even in El Paso, basements were rare.
There are a lot of two-story houses?
Yeah. Now, Joe grew up with basements in Iowa.
Dirt cellars? Root cellars?
Yep.
Oh, she just said that you grew up with basements.
Yeah.
Regular basements or like root cellars?
Well, unfinished basements and finished basements. Like one of the houses we had, the furnace was in the basement, but there was no concrete. It was all just dirt floors. Oh. Yeah. And one of them, the basement was fully concrete, and it had the various pillars, and it had a drain hole. Specifically for if moisture got in, which it was Iowa, it did happen. But it was just cement and brick, and so it wasn't technically a finished basement, but it wasn't, you know, dirt walls.
Right.
There's been a couple other basements, but it was mostly the same crap. Not all of them were necessarily usable. I think yours is more finished than any of them that I had.
Yeah. I've had like half finished off basements before where half of it looked like this and the other half was actually like walls and lighting and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen those, but I've never, you know, lived in a place that had that. I mean, it looks like you could just go in and put up drywall right now and be fine.
Probably. A lot of these are, well, this section here, because that actually goes, that door right there actually goes into the garage. And this, the rest of it's just basically cement walls.
I did have a neighbor whose garage was actually their basement. So they had like a very steeply sloped driveway that went under their house, and then that's where their garage was.
Yeah, that's basically what that is. That this is, my driveway goes down here, it comes down to where the basement is, so you can go into the basement, but right over there, is part of the basement is the garage.
But later on, they sealed off those garage doors and filled in that area to level and like built a garage next to the house. So I guess they wanted a basement to use.
Could probably just use that. I mean, the only advantage to that would be the giant bay door at this point, which, you know, it helps with bringing things like bikes in and out. Not like we're ever going to park a car in there. you don't park a car in a garage. That's just where you keep things, lawnmowers.
We don't park cars in garages here. I don't think any of my neighbors actually use their garage to park. Maybe the one guy does, but like, really not a lot of the neighbors do.
All right. You want to start this thing?
You want me to say it?
We're going to talk about the movie?
Movie? No, we got to start the show. I haven't even started anything yet.
I will say Jackie's contributions have made this version of the pre-show far more interesting than usual.
Well, I've tried to convince her to, like, have a laptop set up and a headset, or she can even do it from her phone if she wants to, but I think she's usually like playing games on there or something during the show. But I tried to convince her just to come on instead of just, you know, using my headset.
We not entertaining enough for you?
She says no.
We really have to work on the staff side.
I am probably going to have to go find some food here shortly. I haven't eaten a whole lot today. I made up for it yesterday, though. I ate a lot yesterday. It was tasty.
Go ahead, Hunky.
I keep Joe's waiting for him to look at the clock and then
just
I
just mute Joe and you can say the intro.
Oh my god. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Linux Link Tech Show. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Find us on the web at www.twlts.org or email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC server, thelinuxlink.net/techshow. Join Pat, Alan, Link, and Joel. And don't forget the two Dans. They are so hot. I know, because I've kissed them both. And Flying Rich, he's a bloody drunko.
If you don't like a guest, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies, that'll get back.